2 years already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he'd been missing.
Yeah. And he never corresponded to anything.
That's a whole different question. Why you holding on Chofdei's Amud Aleph, fourth line. We said in the Mishnah Amar Lahem that Rabbi Akiva, who was arguing with the Chachamim over the question of how much, when you make a Shavua not to eat from something,
that how much of it you need to eat to be chayav
Malkus or a carbon. So we said Rabbi Akiva says Kol Shehu, and the Chachamim say a Kezayis, like with any other Isur Torah. So they argue with him that where do you ever find that you're chayav for less than a Kezayis, which we discussed before. And now Rabbi Akiva answers back to them, Amar Lahem, Heichan Matzinu B'Medabu Mevi Carbon. So where do you ever find some case where somebody says something and the result of it is he has to bring a carbon? Shazem adabra or maybe carbon. Like you're saying in this case, a person says something and therefore has to bring a carbon. In other words, the point is, this is a special case. So the question is, v'loy. Are you telling me that not v'loy? Are you telling me that not? That there's no other case where a person says something and can end up bringing a carbon for having said the wrong thing? Now, I started mentioning yesterday, according to Rashi, the question is not really a substantive question on Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is meaning, in other words, it's not the substance of what Rabbi Akiva is saying. The substance of what Rabbi Akiva is saying, according to Rashi, is that since the person is capable of being oser on himself kol shehu by saying, I'm making a shavua not to eat kol shehu, therefore, even if he didn't say kol shehu, we consider it as if he did. So therefore, the cases that the Gemara is going to bring over here have nothing to do with that. Rather, the question is more on the Lashon that Rabbi Akiva is using. What do you mean when you're using a Lashon that where do you ever find a person speaks and therefore brings a carbon where I can find you other examples that he does? So it's not a question on the substance of what Rabbi Akiva's answer to them, but just on why he used the wording from the Dabo maybe carbon, which isn't really accurate. Tosfos rather learns that what it is, never mind what he had in mind or not, the point is a Shavua is a very serious thing, a very severe thing. Therefore, we make it extra severe and we make it that even if he said, just I won't eat, then we apply it to Mashavu. So the question is, I can find you. It's a substantive question then. We can find actual examples in the Torah of things that are severe, very severe. That's what Rabbi Akiva is pointing out to them. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, where do you ever find Medaber or maybe Carbon? In other words, according to Tosfos, he's saying, I'm saying that in this case, that this is particularly a particular Chumrah that we apply to Shavuot. But the question then on Rabbi Akiva is why he's saying that when we find other areas in the Torah where there's a great Chumrah also. So, v'loy, v'hare megadif.
V'loy meaning what?
V'loy meaning you're telling me that there's no other case where a person speaks and ends up bringing a carbon. V'hare megadif. What about you have the case, a person is megadif, a person curses Hashem, where you have Hold on. If he gets, no, we're not talking about whether he gets skilla for it.
That is
a question. Why is Rabbi Akiva saying to the Chachamim, this is the only case where a person is medaber or maybe carbon? The Gemara is asking this question on Rabbi Akiva. V'hare megadif. So, and Rabbi Akiva holds that if a person curses Hashem b'shoigig, meaning not knowing that it was Osir, then he brings a carbon. So there you have an example, according to Rabbi Akiva himself, another example where somebody speaks and brings a carbon. The answer is medaber v'osir, Kamrin. And yes, but we're talking about that, where do we find an example where a person speaks and thereby creates an isur? A megadif is not, he's not creating something Osir. He's doing something that's Osir, but he's not creating a new isur that didn't exist before. In this case, Megadif is by speaking, he's doing an Avera, and yeah, the result of his Avera is he has to bring a carbon. That's not the same thing as over here, where just the result of his speaking is making something Osir. And then, because he violated that thing, that's Osir, he ends up bringing a carbon.
He's saying the Torah, effectively, is the one who forbids that, not himself.
Yeah. Okay, Vare Nozir. What about a nazir? A person declares himself a nazir, and he ends up bringing a carbon at the end of his nazirus. Maybe korban al diburik. Yes, but we're talking about Rabbi Akiva is talking about that he brings a carbon specifically for something that he said. Bahai, in the case of a nazir, because he said one thing and then did the opposite. When it comes to a nazir, bahai maybe korban lishturi lechamer udukamaisi. The reason why a nazir is bringing a korban is in order to be master himself to drink wine and do the other things. That's the purpose of his korban. It's not so much because he said something and then violated it. It's not so much because of what he said. It's because of the result of what he said is that he became a nazir, and the result of that is now he's also to drink wine. And if he wants to be able to mutter to drink wine, he has to bring his korban. You see that, for example, nowadays, if a person were to declare himself a Nazir, he stays a Nazir for the rest of his life, because until he
so
can bring his Karbanah.
In other words.
The point is not that his Dibur is Chal. Of course it's Chal. The point is he's not bringing a Karban as a direct result of his Dibur. The result of his Dibur is he becomes also to drink wine, and and in order for him to be Mutter to drink it, he'll have to bring a Karban. Here we're talking about something else, that he makes, you know, that he makes a Neder, or that he makes a Shavua, rather. The result of his Shavua is his Osir, and then when he breaks that Shavua, he's bringing a Karban. That's not the same thing as Nazir, where he kept his Shavua, and kept it, kept his Neder, whatever, and then at the end of it, in order to be Mutter, and he had, in order for his Nazirus to be over, he has to bring a Karban. That's a different kind of thing. About a hektish, what about another example where a person declares something hektish, he creates an isser that didn't exist before, and if he ended up saying this animal is hektish or whatever, this object is hektish, yeah. And he makes it osir, and if he violates it, then he has to bring a b'shogig, then he has to bring a carbon. So there you have an example where somebody speaks, creates an isser, and eventually brings a carbon for violating that isser, that self-imposed isser.
Right.
So why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say, so how can Rabbi Akiva say that a shavua is unique in that regard? The answer is oisel asmei kamin, and yes, but we're talking about something that he asks only for himself. V'hai oisel kol olam kulay. If a person declares something hektish, he's making it also for the entire world. That's a different kind of thing. Sure, you make something also for the entire world, and then you use it. Then yes, you should be chayv a korban. But that you should find that a person is asking something just for himself, and then ends up bringing a korban because of it. You don't find any other such example. Rabbi Akiva says. Therefore, you can say that a shavua is unique. Okay. What about harei kainamos? What about the case where a person made a koinam on some food, again, on an object or whatever. Again, a koinam is a lashon of neder. So now he said, I am also to eat this, but he said, this object should be a koinam. This food, for example, should be a koinam to me, meaning that it's also for me to eat, like a carbon. And later on, we're going to have a discussion soon in the Gemara about, which we had in the Nedarim as well, is a koinam considered in that sense like hektish? If you were to then eat it or have hanah from it or whatever, would you be chayav a korban as if you had committed regular me'ilah? Well, if you hold that yes, then there you have another example. A person has created a iser for himself and he violates it and brings a korban. The answer is kasavam ein me'ilah b'kainamus. Very well, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. He holds with the opinion that we're going to have soon, Rabbi Meir, who says that a koinam is not like hektish in that regard.
There's no kehila b'kainam. Me'ilah b'kainam.
Well, according to the opinion that there is, then there is. But according to the opinion that there's not, then there's not. In other words, that's the question. Is a koinam like hektish or not? We're going to discuss it soon. So according to the opinion, which Rabbi Akiva can hold by that opinion, that there's no me'ilah by a koinam, well, there you go then. You don't bring a korban for violating a koinam.
So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what he's talking about.
Okay. First, we're going to establish, before we get back to this matter of koinamos, we're going to establish a couple of basic parameters about the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Again, Rabbi Akiva had said you make a shavua on something and then you eat kol shavua bit yuchayev. The Chum said only a kezayis. So let's establish some ground rules.
Kosher
is less than a kezayis. Yeah, means any amount. So number one, machloikas is stam. So number one says, Rava, the machloikas is only if you just said stam, I'm making a shvua that I won't eat this food. Avav of a farish, but if he explicitly says that I won't eat a mashu of this food, a kol shavu of this food, then divrei hakol b'kol shavu, then everybody, even the chachamim, will agree that indeed he will be chayav for kol shavu. My timer, what's the reason? Mefarish nami kaberi adami, because by saying explicitly that I won't eat even a mashu, that is the equivalent of like the issue of a beria that where if you eat, for example, one ant, we said before, you get malchus for it. So the same thing, by saying that I won't eat a kol shavu of it, it's called achshave. He made it important. He made it that even though normally a small amount like that wouldn't be important, he declared it to be of importance to himself. Therefore, it has a chashivus just like a beria. So we talked about yesterday, actually, what the kovet ta'aris from Rabbi Hanan Wasserman talks about this, from Moshe Feinstein talks about this in his chidushim, that the reason why that works is, now when he after all said achila, and achila, usually the definition of achila is a kezayis. The only reason why that works is because of the concept of beria. Because we find that the Torah itself, even though it says, for example, you're not allowed to eat shrotim, let's say, but it also, we know that the same din applies to a beria, even though a beria is one ant, for example, is far smaller than a kezayis, that makes it possible. Over here also, when he said, I won't eat a mashahu, we don't say that those two parts contradict each other, that eating implies a kezayis and mashahu is less. We say that no, we can reinterpret achila in this case as meaning a mashahu because we see the Torah itself also has that achila can include sometimes less than a kezayis. Okay.
So the example is valid.
Yeah. So therefore, so that's the first case. Everybody would agree that in that case, he's chayiv. V'amar Rava, second of all, Rava said, machloikas b'shaloi oichal, the machloikas in our Mishnah, again, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, is only if he said, I won't eat. Avo b'shaloi esoim, but if he used a different expression, I won't taste, divrei hakavah kosher, then everybody also agrees that it's kosher. So the question is, pshita, well, it's not obvious. Taste is usually is much less than a kezias. The answer is mao detema. You would think litaim nami kedamri itchi. You would think that maybe still the word ta'am can be used in the sense that people often use it. People sometimes in those days would say, or maybe even nowadays, I don't know, would say, let's taste something, meaning let's eat something. So therefore, maybe it should be considered that it would be a kezias. Maybe in other words, ta'am, that et'oim should be considered a synonym of oichal, and therefore it would be a kezias, because he didn't specify kolshu. Kamash malam, that is the chiddush, that Rav Rava, that if he said et'oim, shaloi et'oim, then it means even kolshu.
Yom Kippur, if he tasted it or not, it's not.
Yom Kippur is a separate thing. Yom Kippur, because the Torah doesn't say achila by Yom Kippur. What the Torah says by Yom Kippur is kol nefesh asher lo yisuna, any person that doesn't afflict themselves. So the Chachamim figured out that unless you eat a kacheseves, the size of a date, which is bigger than a kezias, up until that point you still feel afflicted, you still feel hungry. So that's a separate thing. But normally, by most Yisuri Achila or Torah, you need a kezias to be chayav. But over here, if he says et'oim, then it's even less than that, is Rava's point.
It's like a second barrier.
It's in that sense, it's a different thing. The difference is that when he said kol shehu, he explicitly said that achshavei, he explicitly said that even less than a kezias is considered important to me, it's considered significant to me, and I'm answering myself from it. The point is that when you're saying et'oim over here, the point is itaka means tasting, which is any amount, rather than thinking that et'oim is a synonym of oichal, which would mean a kezias. Number three. Okay, so those are Rava's two statements. Now another one. Amar Papa, machloikas b'shavuos. This whole machloikas in the Mishnah is as far as shavua, where he said a shavua that I won't eat such and such. Avo b'kainamos, but if he made a kainam, again, if he said this food is also to me as a kainam, it's on the chesta, on the food, rather than the gabra, the person.
On
himself, but on the object. Not I am also to do such and such, but the object is also to me. Then divrei hakol b'kolshu. Then again, everybody would agree that if he eats even a kolshu of it, he's chayav for breaking his neder. My time, why is that? Koinomis nami.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, the reason for this, my time, koinomis nami, because also when it comes to a koinam, kiven b'loy matko shmo da'achila, since he's not mentioning the concept of eating, when it comes to a shavua, he's saying I won't eat such and such. Eating implies a kazai. When he says koinam, he's saying this food is koinam to me. There's no word of achila in there. Therefore, it's exactly the equivalent of with a shvua being mefarish less than a kezias. Therefore, he's chayev because he didn't say anything about eating, which would cause us to say that it only applies to a kezias or more. He said this thing is a konam, meaning any amount of it is a konam. So now a little bit more of discussion about konamis. Maisvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction, which is also going to lead back to this business about we said koinomis, that whether a koinom is like hektish. A braisa says, shnei koinomis mitstarfin, two koinomis, so for example, two loaves of bread that a person said are koinom, mitstarfin, they combine together to make, if he were to eat a half a kezias from one and a half a kezias from the other one, he would be chayev for, he'd be chayev for breaking his neder. On the other hand, if he makes two shavuos, if he makes a shavua on two different loaves of bread, they don't combine together. Rav Meir, a koinam is kishavuos. So Rav Meir says a koinam is like a shavua, meaning that neither one combines. On the face of it, that's what it means.
So if you're saying that this thing's up to me, it's on him, it's on the thing, right?
Right. So the point is, in other words, if we say two koinamos, then fine. Each one is they both combine together to make an issur. But the point is, we're thinking right now that why are they not mitzvah when it comes to shavuos? Because with shavuos, again, you need a kezias from each one to be chayav. Each one is a separate shavua. Whereas a koinam, on the face of it, you don't need a kezias. But Rav Meir says that not. Now, if you're telling me that anyway, when you break a koinam, you're chayiv on kol shehu, lomali tzarif. What do you even need to talk about being mitzarif? So, and if you ate only a quarter of a kezias from one of them and a quarter of a kezias from the other, or even less, according to what Rav Papa was just saying, that everybody agrees that by koinam, yichayev b'koshu, you should be chayev for that alone. Who cares whether it combines together to a kazayis or not? The fact that the Braisa is saying, that with koinamot you need to combine them, meaning that altogether you have to have eaten a kazayis to be chayev, shows not like Rav Papa. The answer is, da'omar achila mizu alai koinam. Achila mizu alai koinam. No. You're understanding that he made a regular koinam, that he said this is a koinam to me. But no, now we're going to talk about instead that what the case of the braisa would be that he said that he said eating from this is a koinam to me, or eating from this one is a koinam to me. So therefore, now he mentions eating. Normally, when you say koinam, you don't mention eating, like we said before. But if you mention eating, then the usual rules apply. If it's ice, well. So therefore, you need to combine from the two of them in order. If he only said this is a koinam to me, then you don't need. That's what Rav Papa is saying. But if you were to say eating from this is a koinam to me by mentioning the word eating, that implies you need a kazayis. However, the difference is again, according to the Tanakhama of this braisa, that with a koinam you can combine together from two different koinamos to make a shiur to be mechayivim, whereas by shavuos you cannot. So the question is, well, that's the question. In that case, why should you combine it? By a Shavua, we said it doesn't combine, presumably because you need kazayas from each one individually, because you mentioned Achila. Well, then, by the same logic, when it comes to a koinam, so if, after all said and done, zil lahacholek ashiura, if you look at this particular one, there's no shiur, because he only had a half a kazayas of it, the zil lahacholek ashiura, and he ate only a half a kazayas from the other one, why should he be chayav for a koinam any more than he would be for a Shavua? The answer is the Omar Achila Mishtei and Alai Koinam. No. Okay, so we have to change it a little bit. The case is that he said eating from both of them is a koinam to me. So therefore both of them means they're all part of one koinam.
No,
okay. Well, so the question is the Kavasar Gabi Shavuos, then what would be the parallel case by Shavuos? Would be Sha'ama Shavuos Shalah Urchal Mishtein. If the parallel case by Shavuos would be that he said a Shavuos that I won't eat from both of them, am I a mitzarfin? And why shouldn't they be mitzarfin? He mentioned achila regarding both of them together. So therefore, yes, they're both included under the same shavua. Sure, if he eats a half a kazayis from one and a half a kazayis from the other, of course he should be chayav. He has a kazayis total from what he said the shavua. Mele, if he had said two different shavuas, a shavua on this one, a shavua on that one, sure, you can't be mitzarfin then. But if he says one for both, of course you should be mitzarfin by shavuas. So why should we be saying... It's as if it was one big loaf of bread, exactly. So why should there be a difference between a koinam, a neder, and a shavua? Amar Pinchas, so the Pinchas says the reason is like this. That's the question. Yeah. So the answer is, Amar Pinchas, shiny shavuos, it's different. Shavuos are a separate case. Mitoch shechalukas lachatois ein mitzarfas. Because they are considered separate as far as a chata. If you were to say a shvur that I won't eat from this one and from this one, now what happens though if he eats a kazayas from each one of them and it's all behelam echad? Well, then we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that he's actually chayav a separate chatas for each one. We're going to have an example in the next Mishnah, for example, where he says, let's say for example, a shvur that I won't eat wheat bread or barley bread or spelt bread if he eats a kazayas from each one of them, then he's going to be chayav two or three or however many in his chatois.
Each one he says so.
Yeah, each one that he mentioned especially. So
each one or any one?
Each one of them.
A separate chatois.
Yeah. So therefore, by the same logic, even when he says mizu, even when he says a shvur that I won't eat from this or from this, it's considered as if it was two separate shvurs. So therefore, a chatzi shir from each of them can't combine together, but one shir from the two of them can combine. So a chatzi shir from each of them can't combine. That's what he said. Shtei shvuos ein mitzarfes. We're not talking about what he said.
It's two different types of breads.
Yeah. So because they're considered separate as far as chatzos, as we say later, therefore also it's considered. Therefore you can't have a half a shir. It doesn't combine exactly by shvuos, as opposed to by nedarim. You have no such concept. By koinamos, you have no such concept. By koinamos, on the other hand, it is considered a koinam, as we alluded to before about the question of whether there's me'ila by a koinam or not. If we take the view that there is me'ila by a koinam, what it means is a koinam is a type of hektish, therefore. Because what is it? You're saying this is also to me as by a koinam, meaning you're making it like a korban. A korban is hektish. Therefore, in a certain sense, you're making it hektish. And when it comes to hektish, you can have that you can have, let's say, for example, that you now we said before that hekdesh to commit me'ilah, you have to use at least a prutah's worth, but you can have, let's say, that you use or you ate or whatever a half a prutah today and a half a prutah tomorrow, and they combine together as long as behelam echad, and you become chayav for a korban me'ilah. So by the same logic over here, therefore, the kainamos, there's no difference between there's no difference as far as the korban, as far as the korban asham. You're going to be chayav only one korban asham once it adds up to a pruta. So therefore, by the kainamos, it can combine.
It can,
as opposed to the shavuos where it's a chatos and they don't combine because the chatos, it's going to be a separate chatos for each one. Okay, so the question becomes then, Yehochi Rameyor Omer Kainamos Kishavuos. Then why is Rameyor saying that a kainam,
according to Rav Pinchas, what's the difference with Rav Papa?
So that's what we're saying. That Rav Papa had said that by a koinam you chayev for kol shehu. Over here, we're talking about that because you said a koinam that included the word achila, and you said achila mishtehen. Therefore, you need a kezayis because there you mentioned achila. Not like Rav Papa is talking about a plain old koinam where you didn't say anything about achila, and because you said shtehen, therefore the two of them can combine together. The two of them can combine together, and actually, you might not even need in that case that you're actually saying one konam on the both of them. Conceivably, it could even be maybe then that you say a konam on this one and a konam on that one. It would be like two different things in hektish, where you use the half a pruta of one and half a pruta of the other. Where eventually you're going to be chayv and asham, as opposed to shvuos, right? So the question is, yichachir a meyer omer konamos to shvuos. In that case, what about this that a meyer is saying konamos alek shvuos? Bishlema Shavuos, I can understand why by Shavuos you would be potter, why it doesn't combine together, because Pinchas just said that when it comes to a chatos, each one is its own independent thing. Why in that case should Rameyer be saying that a koinom is the same thing? Why shouldn't we combine together?
Implying seemingly that it cannot be like
the question is, according to the Pinchas' logic that we're making the distinction as far as the korbanos, why indeed should a koinom be different? The answer is April. We flip it around. Rav Meir omer shavuos to koinamos. Not Rav Meir says koinamos are like shavuos. Rather, the other way around. Rav Meir says shavuos are like koinamos. Either way, they can still be mitzvah. The less lider of Pinchas. He does not agree with Rav Pinchas' concept that the fact that the key thing. No, he does not hold like Rav Pinchas that the key question is, do you bring one korban for it or do you bring many korbanos? He says the fact is that you only said one time achila mizu mizu, or kona, or he said achila mizu mizu, if it was a shavua, or he said achila mizu alai kona. He only mentioned achila once. Doesn't matter, says your mayor, according to this now. Doesn't matter this that you, Rav Pinchas, are saying that in the one case you're going to bring separate karbanas, and in the other case you're not. They still, when it comes to bemezid, they can still be mitzvah. Shavuos can be mitzvah just as the Tanakhama said that koinamos can be mitzvah. Even though it's true by Shavuos you're going to be bringing separate korbanos if it was b'shogeg, but if it was b'mezid you're still going to get malchus for the combination of them. Ravina says a different answer. To end for what Rav Papa said. So until now we've been saying that the answer to reconcile what Rav Papa said is that it's talking about, you mentioned achila in connection with the konam, and you mentioned two different loaves of bread. Ravina has a different explanation. Kika amar Rapapa le'inyan malchus. Rapapa is talking about, as far as malchus, that you get, that you get malchus for a kol shehu of konam. Kitanya he'inyan korban, whereas the braisa that distinguishes between konam and shavuot is talking about as far as a korban. Where again, for a koinam they combine together, in a shava pruta, where you need a shava pruta. So therefore, we're not talking about being mitzarek. We're not talking about combining together the two shavuos or the two koinamos to make up a kezayis and be mechayev him amazing. We're talking about to combine together the two koinamos and make him chayev for a korban me'ilah. Fine, a koinam is subject to me'ilah. A shavuah is not a shavuah. Nobody holds that a shavuah is like hektish. You wouldn't bring a korban. You bring a korban ole v'yodet for breaking your shavuah if you did it by mistake. But you don't bring a korban me'ilah, you don't bring a korban asham for taking something from hektish if you violate your shavuah. Bring a korban ole v'yodet for a different thing that you use Hashem's name and then violate. So a korban, fine. But we're talking about, as far as the korban that we're talking about is a korban me'ilah, which only
that
comes
you
into
bring.
you don't bring that for a shavua, you only bring it for a koinam, and you only bring it if you commit a ne'ilah, where a koinam is in that category of according to the chachamim of the braisa, a koinam is in that category. It's a species of hektish. Therefore, you broke your nether, you had hanah from a shavah prota of it. You're going to have to bring a koinam ne'ilah. And therefore, they say it can be mitzadah, just like we just said, that ne'ilah, you can eat a half a krutah today and a half a krutah tomorrow of regular hektish, and you're going to be chayav a korban ne'ilah. So the chachamim and our braisa are saying the same thing applies to a neder. Okay, the question is, remember the Sabri Rabbanan Yesh Me'ilah B'Koinamos? Are you telling me then that the Rabbanan hold that ne'ilah applies to a koinam, to a neder? V'atanya, what we learn in a braisa, if a person says kikozu hektish, a person says this loaf of bread is hektish, and Tosfos points out on Amud Beis, when we say hektish over here, we don't mean regular hektish, we mean a koinam. We mean that he makes a neder that this loaf of bread is going to be also to me like a korban. V'ochlo ben hu ben chaberei.
It has to mean this, otherwise it doesn't.
Yeah, otherwise it doesn't really fit in. Yeah. V'ochlo ben hu ben chaberei, and then whether he or somebody else ate it, mo'al, then he's committed me'ila, because by making it a koinam, effectively, by making it also to the whole world, effectively he's making it like hektish, which is also to the whole world.
You can make it also on people, other people?
When he says kikozu hektish, meaning that's a koinam, yeah, it means that it can be also, it means effectively,
everyone.
It means that he's making it also to everybody.
He owns, I guess.
Yeah, he owns it. Yeah, he can be asked or something of his own. Yeah.
He cannot make hektish unless you own.
Right, so therefore, so whether he or somebody else eats it, the shogig, mo'al, they have committed me'ila, and because of that, because we're saying it's like hektish and me'ila applies to it, therefore also you can do pidyon. You're able to be poydet, you're able to redeem it for money, and it will become cholin, and then the money will become hektish instead, because it's like any other hektish. On the other hand, kikozu alai hektish. On the other hand, if he says kikozu alai hektish, sorry, not the zoo, but rather the alai is the stress. If he says this bread is for me hektish, then it's not hektish to the whole world. Anybody else is allowed to have an offering. He's only asking it to himself. Hare huma chaver lemo'al. So now if he eats it, he's committed me'ilah. But if somebody else has, he is not. Lefichach ein lapidyon. Because it's not regular hektish, there's no pidyon because pidyon does not apply to it. You can't redeem it for yourself. Pidyon only applies to hektish. Divrei Rav Meir. That's what Rav Meir said. The Chachamim say that neither he nor the other guy has committed me'ilah if they eat it. Because me'ilah does not apply to a koinam. Okay, well then in that case, so we see the Chachamim hold that me'ilah does not apply to a koinam.
So therefore,
how does that fit with what we just said? That we were understanding the previous braisa about the dorim versus about koinam versus shvua, about siruf. We're saying that the Chachamim hold that you can be mitzaref to bring a koinam me'ilah, and Rav Meir holds that not. We see in this braisa the other way around. Then with Eifuch, we have to flip around the opinions in this last braisa. Echad zeva, echad zeloi mo'al, afishayin mila b'kernomas divir Rameir. In the last braisa, about the bread.
The last braisa.
This last braisa, kiko zu hektish, or kiko zu alai hektish.
Right.
So let's flip their opinions around. Rameir says that neither one has committed mila, afishayin mila b'kernomas, because mila does not apply to a kernom, divir Rameir. Whereas the Chachamim are saying that he committed Me'ilah in the last case, the other guy didn't because it wasn't also to the other guy.
And that contradicts what they were saying.
No, that doesn't contradict. Well, that's the opposite of what they were saying before. But it means Rameir will hold that Me'ilah does not apply to a koinam.
Right.
Which fits with what we said before, that Rameir is saying that by koinam, you don't combine them, because it's meaningless to combine them. There's no concept of a koinam Me'ilah when it comes to a koinam. Therefore, it's meaningless to talk about being the side of them when it talks about regarding a korban. And therefore, that still works with what Rav Papa had said, that if you eat kol shehu from a koinam b'mezid, you will be chayiv malchus.
By switching the braisa
around. Okay. The problem with that is, yichachir a meyer oimer koinamos kishavuos, then why is Rav Meir saying that koinamos are like shavuos? Which seems to be implying elokonomos itzrufi hu delemit starfi homi ilisru. It sounds like all Rav Meir is saying, I don't hold it. You can combine together koinomos just like you chachamim are saying you can't combine them together with shvuos. Itzrufi hu delemit starfi. It sounds like fine. He's saying you can't combine them together. Homi ilisru. It sounds like then Rav Meir is saying me'ilah does apply to them. If you were to eat an entire kazayas. If you were to use or eat or whatever, have enough from an entire shavah prota of a koinam, it sounds like Rav Meir doesn't have a problem with you bringing a koinam me'ilah for it.
As opposed to...
Well, Amar Rav Meir ain't me'ilah, but koinam is klal. We just said that Rav Meir is holding there's no me'ilah in koinamis at all. So how does that work? The answer is, in the first braisa of the Divrei Rabbanan, When the mayor in the first braisa is saying kainoma is kishvuos, he's not expressing his own opinion. He's expressing what the chachamim. He's expressing what he expects the chachamim to hold. He's saying like this: Lididi, according to my opinion, ein ve'ilav kainoma is klal. Me, I hold that ve'ilav does not apply to kainoma at all. Therefore, the whole concept of being mitzaref is meaningless, and the whole concept of whether you bring a korban b'shogeg for eating or having hana from a kainoma is meaningless anyway. You get malchus if you did it b'mezit because you broke your word. There's no korban that you bring if you did it b'shogeg because not hektish. Lididchu, but according to your own opinion that you do hold ve'ilav, you do hold that there's ve'ilav by kainoma is. At least you should agree to me that a koinam should be no stronger than a shavua. Just like you can't be mitzaref by a shavua, you can't combine together a half a kezayis from this and a half a kezayis from that. Why should you hold that you are able to when it comes to koinam?
He considers koinam much less stringent than a shavua.
Well, he's saying by a koinam you don't even have the concept of bringing a korban at all. It's irrelevant, he says, because not like the only reason you should have to bring a korban for it is if it's like hektish, and he holds that it's not like hektish. So at least you who hold, you chachamim who hold that a neder, that a koinam is like hektish, and therefore that me'ilah applies to it. At least though you should agree that it's no stronger than a shavua. That just like you can't combine together a half kezayis from one shavua and a half a kezayis from the other shavua to mechayiv and a korban, so also you shouldn't when it comes to nedarim to koinamis. But Rabbanan and the Rabbanan answer to that, they say, because Shavuot ikadir Pinchas, Kainamas lekadir Pinchas, because the difference is, you have the point that a Pinchas made on Amud Aleph. How many Korbanos you're bringing if you were over on each one of them, on a Kazayis of each one of them, B'shogeg? Where again, when it comes to Shavuot, you will be high of a separate Korban for each one. If you ate the Pas Chitin and the Pas Sa'urin and the Pas Kusmin, a Kazayis of each, you'll definitely be high of a Korban individually for each one, and even Rav Meir agrees to that. Because with a Shavua, each one is considered its own entity. Again, if you said a Shavua on Pas Chitim and Pas Sa'urim and Pas Kusmin, each one you hire for an individual Kazayas from it. That means, therefore, each one is considered as if it was a separate shavua of its own. Separate shavuas of their own, of course, I'm not going to combine. As opposed to a koinam, even you said a koinam separately on each one, since the chachamim are saying to the mayor, we hold that koinamos are subject to the concept of me'ilah, and by me'ilah we know it doesn't have to be that you were moil in a shavah prutah of one particular type of hektish. You can combine together a prutah from different types of hektish, and you're still chayiv as long as behelam echad. The same thing over here, koinamos can combine together.
And therefore, so that's it.
So therefore, the chachamim are saying koinamos can combine, different koinamos. Doesn't even have to be like we said before that you set a koinam on this and on this. It could even be you set today a koinam on this, and tomorrow you set a koinam on that, and you ate a half a kezayis from each one.
So they're saying because you combine for a koinam by me.
Because you combine by me'ilah, therefore you combine by koinam, because a koinam is also a type of me'ilah, yeah.
This is about to like.
Yes. So the mayor is arguing Shavuot shouldn't be any different than Nedarim, than Koinomos. The Chachamim are pointing out when it comes to Shavuot, you have the difference that each type of bread is considered its own entity. Even if you put it all in one Shavuot, it's still considered as if it was three separate Shavuot. Whereas by Nedarim, you don't have that concept.
They combine,
yeah.
The Chachamim do still hold now, according to us, that they can combine.
So the Chachamim are still saying they can combine. They're the ones Shavuot. Who hold. They're the ones. No, by Shavuot, not. Yeah. They said right. They can't combine by Shavuot. Right, and that's so that goes back to now. Rapapa is saying when it comes to Shavuos, the mezid you don't need to combine anyway. You eat a kol shavuah, you chayv malchus anyway. The question about whether to combine or not, that's Rapapa is saying everybody agrees with that. The question of whether you have to be mitzaref comes into play when it was b'shoyvin. Are you bringing a korban for having eaten a korban olav yored for having violated your shavuah and eaten half a kezayis of one and half a kezayis of the other? Is that considered having violated your shavuah? The Chachamim are saying no.
Again, you're bringing three kabbanis.
No. If you ate a full kezayis of each one, then you're bringing three separate shavuos. Right. But the Chachamim are saying, if you only ate a half kezayis of each one, you're not bringing any carbon.
Well, okay. That's
because each one of them is considered as if it was a separate shavuah of its own. So therefore, that comes out l'chumra and l'kula. L'chumra, that if you ate a kezayis individually of each one, you chayav three separate kabbanis. L'kula, that they don't combine. That you can't combine them together to
not
make one carbon.
One.
Yeah. Okay. Omar Rava.
Shavuot Shalom, we looked at Tanam and Aleph in a different context. Rava said, it's important that the Shavuot that I won't
Potter, then he's potter because that's not considered eating. Eating is defined as something that people normally eat. Boy, Rava, but now, and actually, I mean, Mefarshim asked the question why Rava even needs to say this, since the next Mishnah talks about something similar, that if he says, if he eats Oichlin, Shein, and Ruin, Lachila, then he's Potter, so what exactly is Rava? So what exactly is Rava adding? Right, so one idea is some Mefarshim point out there are, you had in those days, there were certain kinds of earth that people ate for medicinal purposes. I guess, I don't know, is it? Yeah, because you have, for example, I mean, nowadays we know there's herbs. Herbs is plants, that's a different thing. But for example, nowadays we know there are different kinds of antibiotics in certain kinds of earth. What?
We never eat herbs.
We don't nowadays because we have the actual antibiotics. We go to the pharmacy and get that rather than eating. But yeah, no, in the olden days. So you had, it could have been for that. It could have been to aid digestion. It could have been whatever. So they had certain kinds of dirt that conceivably you could eat for medicinal purposes. But nevertheless, they're not considered. When you say achila, it means something that's normally eaten. Okay. On the other hand, boi rava, shvur shlo oichal offer b'kama. What about if the person explicitly says, a shvur that I won't eat dirt? How much does he have to eat to be chayav? Kiven d'omer shlo oichal, since he used the expression achila, daite a kezayis, that would mean that he intends to not eat less, that he intends to not eat a kezayis or more, because that's the usual amount for achila. Or on the other hand, dirt is not something that people normally eat, b'chol shuhu, so maybe then the achila in this case means even kol shuhu. Teku. So you can't give him malchus. You can't give him malchus for it, and you can't bring a korban, but you would give him malchus maudus if he did it.
You wouldn't say you cannot make a shvur on something that's not edible.
You could. You could make a shvur on anything you want. You could. Yeah, you can make a shvur that you won't eat at the table, but, you know.
That's why we say teku.
Yeah, okay. Boy, Rava. Another question Rava asks. Shvur shalot echo chautzan b'kama. What if a person makes a shvur that I won't eat grape seed? How much grape seeds does he have to eat in order to be chayev for breaking his shavua? Do we say kiven de misachal ayde tarubis? Since we say now grape seeds are different than dirt, you can eat them in combination. You could eat an entire grape and eat the seeds as well. You could. You can chew a grape and chew the seeds with it as well. I've eaten seeded grapes before and accidentally chewed up and swallowed.
To eat the grape and the seed.
But he didn't make a shavua on the grapes. Grape seeds are allowed to eat. He's just asking himself to eat grape seeds.
Grape seeds, right?
Yeah, the pits. Yeah. So then you don't eat them by themselves. It's true, but you do eat them when you're eating the grapes together. So therefore, daite a kezayis. Maybe therefore he only has in mind to say that he's asking himself to eat a kezayis of it.
Of
grape seeds. Of the pits. So fine, he'd have to eat a whole bunch of grapes, and then altogether the pits would add up to a kezayis. Oy doma, or maybe not. Kiven deloy be'ene achle in leinshi. Since the fact is people don't eat grape seeds on their own, maybe daite a mashu. Maybe he has in mind that even a mashu of them, even one grape seed, should be also to him, and therefore if he breaks that, the mezid he'll be chayav a malchus, and b'shoigig he'll be chayav a carbon.
If he eats
one grape seed, let's say, because maybe since grape seeds are not something that people eat on its own. In other words, a person makes a shavuot, let's say, I won't eat bread. Fine, we know it's a kezayis, right? Because bread is something people eat on its own.
Oh.
The same thing if a person says, I won't eat tomatoes or whatever. But if a person says, I won't eat grape seeds, grape pits, where nobody eats them on their own, you only eat them together with the grapes, maybe then a mashu is enough.
Lechomer.
Yeah, lechomer. So again,
why does Gemara have to give us the second case?
Because this is different than the previous case.
Why?
Because dirt is something nobody ever eats, not by itself and not in combination. You don't eat dirt together with other
grape seeds.
You eat grape seeds together with the grapes. You're eating grapes. You end up eating the grape seeds as well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So again, thank you.
Another one. Boi Ravashi. Nazir shama shavur shalot echo chautzen v'kama. Now how about, let's twist it a little bit. What if a nazir says a shavur that I won't eat a chautzen, which we know a nazir is already also to eat grape seeds, but the difference is a nazir, again, like all isuriyah, or most isuriyah achila shabbatarda, he needs a kezayis to be chayim. So if another mentions grape seeds, then how much is the amount that can chayav for? Yeah, the kiven the kezayis is sura daraisu. Do we say that since you need a kezayis to be also daraisa? Well, the question isn't so much how much is shavur is chal on. The question is his shavur even chal? We've talked about before, and we're going to talk about later on, that in shavur chal al shavur. You cannot make a shavur that's chal on top of another one. So, for example, so one example of it is, let's say you have, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, that we're going to talk about, let's say a person makes a shavua that I won't eat nevela. The Torah already asks you to eat nevela. You're already mushba v'omin mehar Sinai. You already be sworn from mehar Sinai not to eat a kezayis of nevela. So if you were to say a shavua that I won't eat nevela, such a shavua has no effect. Because you're not swearing on anything new.
he's putting Hashem's name also.
Doesn't matter, but okay, that's a different thing. He's using Hashem's name in vain. Fine, you could argue he's chayav for that, but he's not chayav for breaking his shvuah because it's not a separate shvuah. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, and for that reason also, one shvuah is not chal on top of another one, meaning if a person were to say, a shvuah, I won't eat this bread, and again, a shvuah, I won't eat this bread, it's only considered one shvuah. You don't only have one carbon for breaking it.
But if he says, I won't eat flour and I won't eat this bread,
that's different. But
what is that?
Two different things.
I mean,
three shvuahs?
Yeah, maybe. No, well, if he says, I won't eat flour, well, flour could mean just unbaked flour. If he says in general, I won't eat any bread, and then he says specifically a shvuah, I won't eat this bread, yeah, the second one can't be found.
But if he says, I won't eat flour, and I won't eat bread.
But that, I don't know if those were, I don't know, because I mean, flour, you could argue, means raw flour. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara. We're going to
be baked flour.
Hold on. We'll get to such examples, and then we'll see what, not exactly the same example, but we'll see similar things like that in the Gemara later on.
Cake made of flour also. Cake.
Yeah.
That's the point.
No, it's okay. If he says, I won't eat anything made out of flour, and then later on he says, I won't eat this bread, yeah, obviously the second one can't be found, right?
Yeah,
but if he says, I won't eat flour, conceivably that can mean he won't eat raw flour, and but he's still
looking. Any type of flour, that's the point. That,
no, not necessarily. No. Because after all, you do go according to Lashon Rayon. Okay. Fine. So, the kibben to kazayis is sura daraisa, who since only a kazayis of grape seeds, of grape pit, is also to him on a daraisa level, as a nazir. Ki kamishtaba ahatera kamishtaba, then therefore we should assume that his neder means to add in, on top of that something which otherwise would have been mutter to him, which is less than a kazai. It's not really mutter, by the way. There's a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara, in Yoma in particular, whether chatzis shir is also min haTorah or not. The halacha is it is. A chatzis shir is to eat less than the shir is also min haTorah. The difference is you don't get malchus or kares or what have you for it. So over here, when we say that's
you
not awesome,
you bring a carbon.
No, you don't. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If for example, chelav, let's say, a person eats a kazayis of chelav, they bring a carbon, they bring a carbon chatzis, but if he eats a half a kazayis of chelav, even though the halacha is also for him to do, he's not chayav a carbon for it. He'll get Makas Maudus for it. The Chacham will give him Petch for it. But he's not chayav statutory Malkus Minatoda or Korban or what have you. So over here, the Nazir, we should assume if the person, if this Nazir is making a Shavua, he presumably means to make a Shavua that actually has some effect. So maybe what it is therefore, Minatoda as a Nazir, he's also to eat a Kazayas of grape seed. And if he does, he's going to be chayav Malkus. And he's going to have to,
process.
No, the whole process is only if he became Tomei, is only if he became Tomei, and to a lesser extent if his hair was shaved. No, if he eats grapes or drinks wine or whatever while he's a Nazir, he just gets Malchus for it.
It doesn't break
his Nazir. Anyway, so therefore, ki kamishtaba ahateiro kamishtaba, so maybe we should assume that when he's making his Shavua, he means to include something which otherwise would have been mutter to him, or at least not Oster on the same level. V'dayte amashu, therefore he has in mind even a mashu. So therefore, if he would
make the shvur,
he's having in mind something. In other words, he's saying like to aster something which otherwise would have been mutter to him. Like this, as a nazir, he's aster minatoda to eat a kazayas of grape pits. Like this, he's saying a shvur that I want to eat even less than a kazayas of grape pits.
Or when he's adding something.
He's adding something. Yeah.
When he adds, he's adding.
He's adding. Yeah. Or on the other hand, maybe since he said, I won't eat, daite a kazayas. Again, maybe he has in mind a kazayas. No, but still, you have to ask what he means in this case. Well, Toshma, come, let's prove from our next Mishnah. Shvur shalo oichal, we say if a person made a shvur that he won't eat, etc., then he's chayav, Reb Shimon Potter. So the Tanakhama says he's chayav for breaking his shvur. Reb Shimon says he's Potter. Now we discuss on this in the Gemara in the next piece of Gemara. We discuss on this. Why should he be chayev? Mushba va'omim mahar sinai. Again, he's besworn from Har Sinai already not to eat nevelos and tereifas, etc. So his personal shvur should have no effect. And the answer is Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechon Damri. So Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechon and all say that the case is. The case is, when is a shvur chal? When he's including things that are mutter along with things that is osur. In other words, he says, for example, a shvur that I won't eat and that I won't eat any meat from a cow, let's say. Now he goes and eats a kazayas from a nevela of a cow. Well, his shvur was chal on kosher meat from a cow. Therefore, it can also include the nevela from a cow, even though that was already osur min atar. Because his shvur, it's called an isur kolol. It's called that his isser, his personal isser, via his shvur, is now being koilal things that previously were mutter, namely kosher meat from a cow, and now as well as dvorim hasur. So that works.
If he said
only I'm making myself also to eat nevela, that wouldn't work.
That would not work.
Yeah.
Because he's ushering kosher flesh, therefore...
Therefore, it can also be chal on the treifa flesh. This is called that. Usually we say in issur, chal al issur. Usually right. We say one issur cannot be chal on top of another one, but one of the exceptions to that is an issur kolal. It's the new issur adds things, adds new areas that before were mutter and now are
ushered. It's not really issur kolal, because it doesn't kolal anything except what's ushered by Torah. And that's...
No. Here we're saying a shavur that I won't eat any meat from a cow. That includes the bottom of the Torah. There's kosher meat from a cow.
Yeah, but what is kolal? You cannot say it's kolal something that's forbidden by Torah.
But you can. Let me give a simpler example. If a person were to say, for example, a shavua that I won't eat on Yom Kippur, then he's not chayav for breaking that shavua because Moshe Rabbeinu. But if he says a shavua that I won't eat for the next 2 days, and one of those days is Yom Kippur, then his shavua is chayav. Because once it's able to be chal on the other day, which otherwise he would have been allowed to eat, then it's also chal on Yom Kippur. That's called issur kolal. That's the definition of issur kolal. Okay.
So he would be he'll be punished for eating mashal, right?
No, he'd still be chayav. No, according to this explanation, he'd be talking only a kazayah. Uh-huh. The reason why we say he's chayav he's chayav for breaking his shavua and for eating the velus. But the point is that he's chayav for breaking his shavua because his shavua is able to be effective because it included dvarim hamutarim. If he had eaten kosher of flesh, he would have gotten one malchus for that because he ate nevelos, therefore he's chayav too.
Let's just do this thread and he's okay about me.
Yeah. Okay, that's one explanation. Rish Lakish Amar. Now, and Rish Lakish, that's Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan. We're explaining how that shavua, that shaloi oichal and he eats nevelos, how is he chayav? Because, yeah, no, not for the nazir. We're compare this case with the nazir. Wait. Rishlokish gives a different answer. The only way you can make that Mishnah work, one way you can make it work is if he explicitly said, I won't eat a chati shir of nevela. So now, Mushbava in Mahasina is on a full kazayas. His own shavua is a half a kazayas. Again, a half a kazayas is not called mushbava omen mahav sinai, because even though it may be awesome in Atorah, it's not something that would carry a punishment of malchus or what have you. Since he explicitly said that it's chatzishir, v'alibad rabbanon, then even the rabbanon of our Mishnah agree that he can be chayav for breaking the shavua. And if he had eaten a full kazayas, then again he'd be chayav double: one for breaking the shavua, and one for the neveva. Because he only ate half a kazayas, since he explicitly mentioned that he's offering himself in half a kazayas, such a shavua is chal because it's not mushba v'omen ma'asinai. Or the other way we can make it work is according to Rabbi Akiva, who said in our Mishnah that a person makes a shavua, he's automatically asking himself in kol shehu, even if he didn't say so explicitly. Same idea. Then his shavua applies to a kol shehu. The shavua mahar sinai only applies to a kazayas. So when he eats a mashu, then already he's chayav for his shavua. The point of the question is like this.
So that's
another way of making the Mishnah work. But in other words, Rish Lakish is saying, I do not accept the concept that the Mishnah is saying that it will work if it's an Issur Kolal, because I don't hold of that. I don't hold of that concept, that Issur Kolal Issur with an Issur Kolal. So you, Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan, you're all saying you can make it work because it's an Issur Kolal. He said that he's asking himself on all meat, and then that it automatically includes Nevela. I don't hold of that.
He doesn't hold that a shvur is chal on.
He doesn't hold that if it's an issur kolal, that a shvur can be chal.
Right.
Therefore, the only way to make it work, is where his shvur applied to less than the amount that he's chayav in atzer. Which there's two ways to do that. Either he explicitly said it applies to less, which works even if it's a chachamim, or he didn't say that and it works if one's never given. Yes. Now the point is, v'ha nevela de mushma v'omin mahar sinai. Now a nevela is something that he is also from har sinai to eat. Therefore, in that sense, nevela to a regular yid is like grape seeds to another. Both of them, you're only also if you ate a kazayas. The time of the parish, and Rish Lakish is saying the only reason he's chayav in the next Mishnah is if he explicitly said less than a kazayas, according to the Chachamim, or according what the parish that he explicitly said less than a kazayas. Of course, according to the Chacham, he has to explicitly say that, and according to Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't need to because automatically a Shavua applies to less than a Kedayah. We're talking according to the Chacham over here. Rish Lakish is saying that the next Mishnah only works according to the Chachamim if he explicitly said, I'm asking myself to eat less than a Kedayah of Nevela. Well, the time of the parish, only when he said that is a shvur chal. Hole parish naiti akazayis, implying if he didn't say that, it would mean it's shvur meant to apply to only a kazayis of nevela and not less. A kazayis of nevela will work because mushba va'oyin v'har sinai. Shmamina, so that proves it. So therefore, that proves it that when it comes to the chartzan, when it comes to the case of the nazir and the chartzan, that shows that indeed his shvur is meant to be only is not meant to be on something that otherwise would have been mutter to him, namely less than a kazayis. It's only referring to a kazayis. Mushva v'ayin v'har sinai. Therefore, his shvur is v'chalal not chal.
According to the rabban.
Well, we're talking according to the rabban.
It has to be according to the rabban.
It could have worked. Yeah. But according to the Rabbanan, when he says Shavuot Shavuot Chartzan, it still means that he's only swearing that he won't eat a kazayis of chartzanim, of grape seeds. And since on that he's already mushba v'ovim har sinai, being a nazir, therefore his Shavuot B'chalal takes no effect.
But he's prepared to say that even
less. If he said prepared less, then of course less. Then there's no question. The question was if he didn't say that. Now,
how could we argue differently from that?
We could have argued that, as we said before, that since he knows that a kazayis is ready also to him in a Torah, maybe his shavuah is meant to apply to less than a kazayis. But no, we're proving from Rish Lakish's understanding of the next Mishnah, and even Rav Yechanan, by the way, even Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan don't have a problem with that basic concept that Rish Lakish is saying. They just hold the Mishnah can't mean that for other reasons, because as we're going to see later on in the Gemara, on Chof Dalet, they hold there's a certain criterion that something needs in order to be considered a valid shavuah. A certain criterion about hayin and lab, which we haven't, which is the hold from. Right. So, but that's a side thing.
If it was not that, then they would agree.
Then they would agree with the Shlokish's explanation, right? So therefore, we're left with that. Yes, when it comes to the nazir, his shavuah not to eat chatzonim is not meant to be that he says to himself, "I know already min haTorah, I'm not allowed to eat a kazayis of grape seeds because I'm a nazir. I'm making a shavuah on even less than that." No, we don't say that unless he explicitly said so. Uh-huh. Otherwise, it means he's aftering himself in a kazayis. He can't after himself in a kazayis because the Torah already aftered him in a kazayis. Therefore, his shavuah is ineffective. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't agree with that, but the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. Marsha, by the way, points out we can't use that to answer Rava's first question about grape seeds because it's not the same kind of thing. They're, by a regular person, grape seeds does not alter any amount, not more than a kazayis and not less than a kazayis. So therefore, it's not really relevant. So you can't answer that. So the question about grape seeds to a regular person is still left as teiku, but the answer to the question about a nazir and grape seeds, we now have the answer. Okay. The question is, Elatipshit the Boy Rava. Fine, based on this, though, we should be able to answer Rava's first question about the dirt. That the Boy Rava Shavuot Shema Ochel off of the Kama, where Rava had asked, if the person says a Shavuot that I won't eat dirt, how much dirt does he need to eat to be Chayav for breaking the Shavuot? Tipshit to add the Ikha Kazayas. Shouldn't you be able to answer, based on the next Mishnah, based on the case of Nevela, that it means that he's referring to a Kazayas? Don Nevela Ka Ochel Damia, because after all, Nevela is just like dirt. Neither one can be eaten by a Yid.
No, but Nevela is not
sort of. Hold on, after the Gemara's answer. Wait. The time of the Parish, and only if he specifies less than a Kazayas, if he hired for less than a Kazayas, Holy Parish died to a Kazayas, implying if he didn't, he meant a Kazayas, yeah. And it sure doesn't work. And for the Gemara, low. No, it's not similar, because also La Barachila Rukla, because dirt can be eaten by anybody, not by Jews, not by Goyim. Nevela Barachila, Nevela, in principle, you could eat it. Yeah, people eat roadkill. You have a ilava. You have, so to speak, a lion crouching on top of it, meaning the iser crouching on top of it and preventing you from eating it. It's not that in and of itself. That's the more standard expression. Means the lion crouching on top of it, meaning. Like if you had something which is perfectly mutter to use and to eat and whatever, but a lion on top of it, so therefore it scares you away and you can't use it. So the same thing. What keeps you from eating nevela is the fact that the Torah told you not to eat nevela. Not that in and of itself it's inedible, unlike dirt. Okay. Moving on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shvur Shalom Echal, person says a shvur that I won't eat. And he ended up eating. V'achal v'shata, and he ate and drank. Now, when a person says a shvur that I won't eat, that includes drinking as well. So we would think, therefore, that maybe he broke his shvur twice. Maybe he should be chayav two karbanis. No, ain't a chayav al-achas. He's only chayav one time, as we'll see in the Gemara why.
Unless he would have said, "I'm eating."
Shvur shalochal v'shaloi eshta. On the other hand, if he says a shvur that I won't eat and that I won't drink, v'achal v'shata chayav shtayim, then he's chayav two chatos. To Korban Olav again. Another case, Shvur Shalot Ochal. Person says a Shvur that I won't eat in general. means and he ate three different types of bread, wheat bread, barley bread, and stale bread. Ain't a chayv alacha, he's only chayv one, because it was one shavur that included everything. On the other hand, shavur shalo echo paschitin, a pastor, and a paschusman, but if he specified that I won't eat wheat bread, or barley bread, or salt bread, and he ate each one of them, a kazayit.
If you want chayv alacha, it's like three swears at the same time.
Well, we're going to see in the Gemara why. It's not, you know what, you're thinking it's so simple. It's not so simple, really. The Gemara is going to point out, maybe the reason why he mentioned those three is because he needs to point out, I'm only offering myself in these three types. I still want to be mutter to eat rye bread, and I still want to be mutter to eat fruit and meat and whatever. Why should we say it? Consider like three different shuras instead of one shur with three details. That's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara.
I said it sounds like he's making swears. Three shurs. I'm not going to eat this. One.
If he said that, there's no question.
Yeah.
But here the point is, even though he may, So we're going to see why, Okay. Onward. Shavua shalai eshte, same thing, a person makes a shavua that I won't drink, the shata mashkin habe, and he drank many different drinks, ain't a chai balacha, he's only chai one chasas. On the other hand, shavua shalai eshte yayin v'shemen or dvash, but if he said a shavua that I won't drink wine or oil or honey meaning maybe meat, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, v'shata, and he drank chai a kazayas or a rabias of each one, a rabias, I think the Rambam says, chai v'akalachas v'achas, and he's chai individually for
each one
is considered its own chashivas. Yeah. Again, we'll see in the Gemara why that is, why we don't just say that maybe he's just specifying in order to say he's only chai, is only offering himself in these three, but he's still being master himself to drink orange juice or whatever. Why don't we say that? We'll see in the Gemara. Another case, shavur shalot, which we've discussed already, shavur shalot oichal, a person says a shavur that I won't eat, but ochal oichal and chain and ruin la'achila, he ate things that are not suitable to eat, the shasa mashkin chain ruin l'shtir, he drank drinks that are not suitable to be drunk, potter, then he's potter because that's not considered eating or drinking. Shavur shalot oichal, but ochal nevelos or trefes shkotzim or ramasim, chayev, he said a shavur that I won't eat, he ate nevelo or trefa or shkotzim or ramasim, he's chayev for breaking his shavur. But Reb Shimon Poiter, Reb Shimon says he's potter for breaking the shavur. Obviously, if he ate a kazayas of it and they gave him asrav, and he's going to get malchus for eating the shkotzim themselves, so that's a different matter.
And he has to bring.
Yeah, then if he's bemazed, he gets malchus. If it's b'shogeg, then nothing. You only bring a chatos for things that bemazed to be chayev karetz. You're not chayev karetz for eating nevelo or trefa or whatever. These are the maximum you get is malchus. So b'shogeg, there's no carbon, right?
Carbon is a different.
Well, it's a nevela, it's not carbon by definition. Nevela means to die without proper shit.
So if you eat a nevela, as we discussed before,
if he was raised and you had asra, then you got malchus. But here we're talking about whether you're chai or potter for breaking your shavua. The Chachamim are saying yes, and Reb Shimon is saying no. So Reb Shimon, we understand, again, because mushba v'omim mahar sinai, you already be sworn from mahar sinai not to eat that amount. The Chachamim, we have to figure out, and we have the explanation of Rav and Shmuel and Reb Yochanan versus the opinion of Rish Lakish, why that is. Again, because either we're talking about that it was an Issa Kolol, or it's talking about that it's Shavua is for even less than a Kazai. Okay. What about another case? How about a case, a related case, a person says, a koinam, which is a neder, that my wife is not allowed to have hana from me if I ate today. So he was talking about whether I ate v'hu ochal nevelos atrepes shkotzim ramasin. He previously that day had eaten nevelos atrepes shkotzim ramasin. Harei ishti asura, that his wife is asur to have hana from him because he ate something. Even Reb Shimon would agree to that. Reb Shimon holds because he can't make a shavua on something that ain't shavua ain't mushva v'orim ha'asinai. Here we're talking about something that happened in the past. He's making a shavua now that I didn't eat before. That has nothing to do with mushva v'orim ha'asinai. When he ate that before, he was committing an iser. Now, basically, he's swearing I didn't eat anything, whether it was mutter or whether it was asur. And he ate. So even Reb Shimon will agree to that.
That
his wife is in that case is going to be also have hana. Mind you, by the way, the notes of Caleb on Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and the Shah, ask a question. How can such a neder be valid anyway? The husband has a shibud to his wife.
Right,
so he has to provide food and whatever. How is such a shibud even able to be chal? How is such a neder able to be chal in the first place? And they give a couple of different answers. One of them is that maybe ishti nenes means the other way around, that I'm not allowed to have hana from her. Maybe it means that, but she can have from me because I'm meshubat to her. Maybe it means that the Taz talked about it to me, the case we've learned about a number of times throughout Seder Noshim. We have the case see Masya Dayakhan Zenesayah, where he tells her, for example, you can, instead of me feeding you, instead of me giving you food, and you giving me your Masya, your diet, your earnings, instead you keep your earnings and you can buy your own food. In that case, then he's not the to her to give her enough, so that could also work. No, we're not talking about shade of ksusa by nasa. That's a different thing. Then it's no. As far as oino, you're right. This thing can't be chal on oino, but it could be chal on food.
So the shvurah he made is that I didn't eat something.
But and if I ate. And if and really he ate. And if I ate, then my wife should be also to have enough to give. We have this concept. We have similar things in the daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar b'chir ba'oven amar shmur." Shavur, so if a person makes a shavur that I won't eat, the shasa, and he drank, chayev. So we said it, so he's chayev. Now, he's chayev. Now, right, well, that's the question. How do we know this? Now, it's not exactly the same thing we said in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said he said a shavur that I won't eat, and he ate and drank. He's only chayev one chasa. He's only chayev one chasa. He was saying something else. If he didn't eat at all, he only drank, then he's still chayev. Why? He buys him a shavur, or he buys him a krah. I can give you a svara to show this, and I can give you a pasuk to show this. If I say a svara, because you have people will sometimes say one to another, come taste something, but I leave a v'shasu, and they go and eat and drink. So we see, therefore, that te'ima, we see that tasting, therefore, includes drinking. In fact, Tosfos brings a different girsa, that sometimes people will say, let's taste something, but as leave v'shasu, and they go and drink, not without the word achila. So therefore we see that, yes, we see that in common terminology, te'ima, which means eating, as you said before, can mean also drinking. That's true, but nevertheless, we say that still, in Lashon Bnei Adam, the word te'ima, which is pretty much a synonym of achila, it's almost a synonym of achila. We said on Amud Aleph, it's not exactly the same thing, because if you said tasting is chayiv and kol shehu, and achila would be a kazayis, but nevertheless, we see that in Lashon Bnei Adam, tasting includes drinking as well. And therefore eating includes drinking as well. The boy
but even if he tastes and he doesn't swallow, he's still higher.
True, but nevertheless, the point is, we see that oichal includes drinking. The boy sem kra, or I can bring you a pocket to prove this point.
Oichal includes drinking, oichal includes fluid.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Drinking is
yeah, it means drinking fluid, you know, drinking juice or whatever, yeah.
That's what it means.
Is considered the chalak.
Swallow.
Yeah, okay, that's what we mean. But in other words, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about swishing it around in his mouth. And by the way, we have this in other areas of halacha also. For example, again, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that a person drinks on Yom Kippur is also equally chayev as if he ate. The Yibayisem Akura, or I can bring you a pasuk, Shtiya B'chalal Achila, I can show you from a pasuk that drinking is included in eating. The Amr is Shlokish, the Nayim of Shtiya Shtiya B'chalal Achila, the Shlokish says, where do we see that drinking is included in eating? Shenema, you have like this, by Maisa Sheni, the pasuk says, the Achalta of Pnei Hashem Alekecha, you should eat before, in the presence of Hashem Alekecha, by Mokam Asher Yivcha L'Shak and Shmashav, in the place, meaning Yerushalayim, where he chooses to make his Shechina rest there, you should eat there, Maisa B'goncha V'Tiroshcha, Maisa B'goncha V'Tiroshcha, you should eat there the Maisa of your grain and your Tirosh. Now what is Tirosh? V'Tirosh Chamru. Tirosh means wine. Wine you drink. And the pasuk says you should eat. So we see that eating includes drinking wine. Okay, the question is, the Dilma Idea Negroid, who says maybe the pasuk is talking about that you bring your wine and mix it into a negroin and eat it together. A negroin is as the Gemara is going to say now, is a type of stew, a type of liquidy stew. So it's liquidy, but still you eat it.
What is it exactly?
So they had, okay, so I've seen, well, the Gemara is going to define it now, actually, but they had a fish sauce, a sauce made out of crushed fish or whatever that they used to commonly eat in those times. The Romans called it garum, the pashtus, that's a goroin, and the goroin is the pashtus, the same as garum that they used to eat. It was a very popular food among them. They even found, by the way, there can be kashrus issues with garum, as you can imagine, because it comes from fish. Is it from kosher fish or trefa fish? They found ancient bottles of garum that have a little picture of a menorah on it. They found in excavations in Rome, which seems to be like a hechsher to say that this is kosher tea. Anyway, a negroin, therefore, I read it someplace, I can't remember where, but so therefore a negroin, and the Gemara is going to mention another one, oxigroin are two different things where they mix this garum with something else in order to make like a stew. So what is a negroin? The Amar Rav Ashmor, a negroin is maya distilki. A negroin is a stew that's made with beet juice. Oxigroin is maya dekulu silki, or dekulu shilki, really. Oxigroin, a different type, is where they mix it with soup with liquid from many different kinds of cooked vegetables. Shlokos means vegetables that are like overcooked until like they become soft, like You have some people, for example, when they make their chicken soup, for example, you know, they overcook the vegetables and they become like a mush. That's what we're talking about over here. Anyway, the point is that anigra, and they would very commonly mix wine into the anigrin as well. So therefore, maybe that's what the pasuk means, that you eat your wine and your shalayim, how, by mixing it with anigrin and eating it as a soup.
This is for what the fish you mentioned.
Okay, so the point would be, in other words, if it's correct, if anigrin and oxigrin have to do with this garum, with this fish stuff, then it would mean that the base of it would be, the base of the stew would be this fish juice or whatever, and then they would add to it different ingredients. They would add to it beet juice to make like borscht, and they would add wine, and they would add other kinds of
fish.
Yeah, by itself, garum is just fish juice. Anigrin would be, therefore, that they're mixing in beet juice. And oxigrin was a different kind where they'd mix in the juices or the soups of many different kinds of vegetables. Okay, anyway, the point is that we see that anigrin is something that you eat. Rashi, by the way, mentions over here that also, for example, they would grind up pepper into it. And yeah, it was a very common thing to add wine as one of the ingredients. So maybe that's what the pasuk means. Now, Ella Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov Mehocha. So no, rather Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I'll bring you a different proof from the pasuk that eating includes drinking. The pasuk says, also in connection with Maaseh Sheni, so what happens, you can't bring the Maaseh Sheni yourself to your Shalayim, so you exchange it for money, you bring the money to your Shalayim, then Asata Akesef B'chol HaShtav HaNashecha, you can spend the money on anything that your heart desires, that your soul desires, B'Bokor or B'Tzoron or B'Yayin or B'Shecher, whether it's cattle or sheep or wine or Shecher, Shecher means old wine, yeah, and Yayin Chamra, Yayin means wine, Yisra Achalta, the pasuk. The prophet continues, "We have chalcol, but now Hashem alakach." So you see that includes drink. The question is, the Joma Hafinami idea, anigrin, maybe the same thing. Maybe it means that you take the wine and mix it into your anigrin and into your stew over there and drink it. The answer is sheicher, midi de meshaker. Fine, but the prophet also mentions sheicher, and sheicher means something that makes you drunk.
Okay.
If you drink, if you eat soup, if you eat anigrin soup or stew or whatever that has wine mixed into it, you're not going to get drunk from it. So therefore, it has to mean wine that you actually drink by itself. The question is, who says that Sheikha means that? The Duma Dvela Ke'ilis. Maybe Sheikha means something entirely different. It means something else that's able to make you drunk, namely a Dvela, a fig from Ke'ilah. Ke'ilah is a city in the south of Israel. The figs there, the figs there were particularly juicy, and therefore you could eat from them, you could get like intoxicated. Maybe it was also they were so juicy that they kind of like ferment or whatever, and therefore you'd have like a little bit of alcohol in them. I don't know, whatever it is. The point is, yeah. Gitanya is in fact we learn in the Braita. Also, the Vela Ke'ila. So if a person eats this dry, if a person eats this fig from Ke'ila, the Shasa Dvash Vachalav, or a person drinks honey or milk, with all those things are able to make you a little lightheaded, a little drunk. Again, maybe also because they ferment, and you have nowadays milk starts spoiling, you throw it out. But in the old days, it's spoiled a little bit, you probably still drink it. And spoiled would mean that you have bacteria start getting in there, yeast, whatever, start doing their work and turning some of it into alcohol. They have, by the way, they have some Central Asian nations or whatever where they have the popular drinks over there are fermented milk. They take some kind of milk. They take milk, whether from kosher animals or non-kosher. They let it ferment. They let yeast grow in it and then convert some of the sugar. Anything that has sugar in it can be converted into alcohol. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's in the yogurt, right?
Yogurt is a different thing. It's not converted into alcohol, but yeah, it sours it. It's a different kind of bit bacteria rather than yeast. But yeah, it's similar.
To make yogurt, you have to have yogurt.
You have to put in yogurt cultures. Yeah, in the same way with this fermented milk or whatever. Okay. So maybe it's talking about fermented milk.
They put a content from it in the milk and become clarity instantly.
So maybe we're talking about over here that. Maybe we're talking about fermented honey or fermented, like mead or fermented milk. Or maybe not. Maybe we're just talking about milk or honey as they are now, where they have the sugar in them. It's enough to give you a sugar high and make you a little bit drunk. I don't know. The nichnas and mikdash law, but anyway, a person after eating these things or drinking these things goes into the mikdash, a kohen goes in and does avodah, chayev. He's chayev malchus for it. He's not chayev misa unless he actually drank wine or revius of wine, but he's chayev malchus for these things because he went in a state of drunkenness. So therefore, so you see that the point is therefore, sheikhar can mean, so fine, sheikhar means something that gets you drunk. But we see that a dvela ke'ilis or milk or honey can get you drunk. So maybe by the same logic, when the Torah is telling you, spend my tisheni money on the sheikhar, maybe it doesn't mean, and yayin and sheikhar, maybe wine means that you mix it into a nigrin and eat it as a soup. Sheikhar means that you spend the money on a Dvela Ke'ilus or whatever. Who says that we're talking about drinking wine on its own, that we're trying to prove that drinking by itself is included in eating? No. Ella Gomer Sheikhar Sheikhar Minozu. No, rather, the way we have it is because we learn by Xer Shava for the word Sheikhar from Nozir. By Nozir, also says you're not allowed to drink Sheikhar. Mala Halan Yayin, and by a Nozir, it clearly means wine. A Nozir is allowed to eat a Dvela Ke'ilus. A Nozir is allowed to drink milk or honey or whatever. It's only grape product he's also. Afkan Yayin, the same way. By Maisa Sheni, the word Sheikhar means wine that intoxicates, wine that gets you drunk. Now, it is true, Tosis points out, you are allowed to buy a Dvela Ke'ilus with Maisa Sheni money. You're allowed to buy anything that grows from the ground directly or indirectly. And this does, the fig. The point is, that's not what the pasuk means by Sheikhar. That would mean we learn it from the klal of prati klal over there, that anything that grows from the ground, pre-me-pre-ve gedulei karka, but not directly. Okay.
Not directly
meaning sheikhar, and the pasuk does not mean devela keilus, it means intoxicating wine, just like it does by another. So therefore, we see from that, and since wine only intoxicates, only gets you drunk when you drink it neat, when you drink it by itself, not when you eat it as part of a nigra and soup, therefore we see that eating in the Torah includes drinking, which is what we set out to prove. Okay. Rava, so Rava says, yeah, you can see that from our Mishnah as well. Shavur Shalot Eichal, we said in our Mishnah that if he made a shavur not to eat, but Achal V'shotah, and he ate and he drank, Eina Chayv Al-Achas. And he's, if you say, he's only Chayv one carbon. So, one carbon of the year. So, Iyam, the Shlemish, Siyah, V'chal, Achila, if you say that drinking is included in eating, if you say that drinking is included in eating, therefore, it's Yuch Le'latana, Lashmi, Inan, Deina, Chayv Al-Achas. That would be the chiddush. The Tana has to inform us. You should know, even though you would think he was twice over on it, sure. No, we say he was only once over on it.
But if he
does, if he said that shtiyah is anyway not included in achila, of course, shavur shalat oichal va'achal va'asim malacha. So if a person says a shavur that I won't eat, and then he eats and also does malacha, me itzurich lashmin dein chayv al'achat, does the Mishnah have to tell us he's only chayv one? Obviously, malacha is a whole different thing than achila. So obviously, the implication of the Mishnah is that shtiyah b'chlal achila, you would have thought, therefore, he's chayav two korbanos, and therefore the Mishnah tells you, no, you only chayav one. But that shows that shtiyah b'chlal achila.
Even if it was one, it was not one thing, you would agree.
No, if shtiyah was not included in achila, then he would say, of course you don't get a second, of course you don't bring a second korban for it, just like you wouldn't bring a second korban for doing malacha or doing something else completely unrelated to achila. The very fact that the Mishnah has to tell us you only chayav only one told us that the Tana wanted to inform us that shtiyah is included in achila. However, here, since he made a generic shavuah that says, I won't eat, then therefore, no matter how many, even whatever he eats and whatever he drinks, it's all one time breaking the shavuah. Assuming, of course, it was behel ha-mechad, if it was b'shnei ha-lemes, if it was in two periods of not knowing, that's a whole different matter.
The fact the Mishnah brings it
shows that shtiyah has b'chlal achil.
If he drank, first he drank, and then he ate, he'll be chayav too.
No, Helamechad means one period of not knowing, that he forgot his Shavuah, forgot that he was also to eat and drink, and he ate and drank. Yeah. Okay.
And that's why the Mishnah has to go.
Omalei Abaya, Elamai Shtiyah B'chlal Achila. So Abaya says, so what are you telling me therefore? You're saying that you can prove from our Mishnah that drinking is included in eating. Eima Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. Shavur Shla Oichav Al Shla Yashta. We said in the Mishnah that if he explicitly says, I won't eat and I won't drink, V'ochav Shas, and he ate and drank, Chayav Shtayim. We say he's Chayav Tu Chatzos. Well, why? Kiven to Omer Shla Oichav, as soon as he says Shla Oichav Itzalei B'shtiyah, as soon as he says Shla Oichav, automatically that includes drinking. So now, if he adds that I won't drink, how can he be chayev? Yeah, it's shvosh cholah shvua. Ilu omer shalat eshta treiz dimni mi mechayev tarti. If he were to say twice I won't drink, would he be chayev two chatois? No, ain shvua cholah shvua. So if his achila automatically includes shtia, then how does a separate
point
thing for shtia, how does that help?
No.
The point is like this. If a person were to say I won't drink, and again he says I won't drink, that's only considered one shvua. So if he says I won't eat, where eating includes drinking, as we're saying, and then he adds, I won't drink. What is that? And I won't drink. What is that adding to? It's already included in the previous one. Right. It's like the example where you said before, I won't eat anything made out of flour, and then also I won't eat bread.
And that's the answer.
So that's the question. On the face of it, then the Mishnah is implying that shtiyah is not b'chlal achila, and therefore the second part of the shvuah is able to be chal. Yeah. Amalei, the Rava answers him like this. Hosam de Amar. No, Rava answers. Hosam de to Rabbi. Now, the case of the Mishnah is where he said it the other way around. First he said, I won't drink. Then he said, I won't eat. The shtiyah b'chlal achila, Issa, it is true that drinking is included in eating. Achila b'chlal shtiyah lasha. Eating is not included in drinking. Right. If a person were to say only a shvuah, I won't drink, it would still be allowed to eat. So therefore, when he says, first, I won't drink, fine, that's chal on drinking. Now, when he says, in addition, I won't eat, fine, that shvur is able to be chal on the other one, because, as we said before, isur kolol, he's now adding things that previously were mutter, along with things that are already were also. So that works. Now he becomes chayav twice for the drinking.
Now, the fact that food has inside water, that would...
No, that doesn't matter. Okay. Okay, so the question is...
Really, initially, hold on.
So what are you telling me, therefore? If he were to say it in that order, in the order that we said in our Mishnah, that he eat the first that I won't eat, and then that I won't drink, and he ate and drank, my, what are you going to tell him? You, Rava, are going to tell me then that he's only chayav one shavur, that he's only chayav one carbon? If so, ad toni resha shavur shala ochal, instead of the Mishnah beginning with the case where he said that I won't eat, where he said that if he ate and drank, then he's only chayav one carbon. Listen, shavur shala ochal v'shala eshta ena chayav al achas. Let it say more explicitly. If he says I won't eat and I won't drink in that order, then he's still only chayav one. And I won't drink, because eating already includes drinking, and therefore the drinking is b'chal matchal, because ain shavur chal al shavur. And so, we'd understand from that how much more so if he said only that I'm not going to eat. Why does the Mishnah mention that I won't eat? And then we're not sure what the din is if he said I won't eat and I won't drink. Instead of saying explicitly that if he says I won't eat and I won't drink, then he's only chayav one, even if he eats and drinks. But if he says I won't drink and I won't eat, then he's chayav two. The Mishnah should have phrased it that way. We go back to the way it says in the Mishnah that it's in the order oichal and then shot, and then shalai oichal v'shalai eshte, in that order. And nevertheless, the shavua on shtia is the part on shtia is able to be chal. Why? The shiny hacha, because it's different in this case. Kiven de'omah shalai oichal, since he first started saying I won't eat, which is true, that's generic. That means it includes drinking as well. But then he continues by saying, and I won't drink, Gali Adaite, he demonstrates that his das is the Hachachila Dharma Achila Gradacy, that when he first said, I won't eat, he meant to mean only eating. Therefore, only now, when he adds drinking, only now does he become higher for the drinking.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. So he changes, he's explaining
what he first said. He said first that I won't eat, and we would think it meant everything. Then he clarifies that he meant, first I meant I'm only going to eat. And you know what? Now I'm rethinking myself, and yeah, I'm not going to drink either. So therefore, he actually meant it as two separate things.
You change the Nusach of the Mishnah at all?
No, we're not changing the Nusach of the Mishnah. We're saying that Shvur Shalat Ochav Shalat Esh, because he mentioned explicitly, both eating and drinking, that means it's counted as two separate Shavuos now. And therefore, if he eats and drinks, he's chayav too. Because originally he had the kavana only for eating.
But if one asked a question before, the listener submission should have been opposite, right?
So now the answer is like this. If he only says shavur shalat oichal, then it includes eating and drinking, but because it was a generic shavur, therefore he's only chayav one time for breaking it, even if he both ate and drank. But if he says shalat oichal v'shalat eshte, the second one, the shalat eshte is able to be chal, because now we understand that his shalat oichal was not meant to include drinking.
It was only
meant to include eating. And now, when he said shalai ochav or shalai esh, they're fine. Now it's considered like two separate shvuos.
That's a greater...
So therefore, it's chayav two chasaros. Or two korban over here again. As a matter of fact, we can see that, Ravashi says, from a deal, from our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said shvuos shalai ochav, the person said shvuos that I won't eat, v'ochav ochav she'en ruin l'achila, and then he ended up eating something that's not suitable to eat, v'shosa mashkin she'en ruin l'shtia, or he drank something that's not suitable to drink, we said potter, harder uryin chayev. The implication of the Mishnah is, but if he drank something that would have been suitable to drink, then he'd be chayev. V'amai, now why should he be chayev? Ha'shvuos shalai ochav kam, and he only said a shvuos that I won't eat. Obviously, we have to say that drinking is included in eating. So the Mishnah had not explicitly told us about a case where he drinks, and therefore he's chayav, but by implication, if we're saying that he's like potter for drinking something unsuitable, it means that he's chayav for drinking something suitable. The Gemara says not necessarily is that a valid deal. Dilma de Omer Tauti, because maybe the case is that the Mishnah is that he said both, shvur shalai ochal, shvur shalai eshta. Maybe all the Mishnah is trying to tell us is the distinction between whether it's something suitable to drink or not, if his shvur explicitly included drinking. Not necessarily when the Mishnah said shalai ochal, the Mishnah is not getting into the detail that he also said shalai eshta. The Mishnah is not trying to tell us that level of detail. The Mishnah is just trying to tell us the difference that even he said shalai ochal, it doesn't include inedible food.
It doesn't.
But not necessarily is the Mishnah getting into the question of whether if he said shalai ochal, whether automatically it includes drinking. But the diuk from the Mishnah, it doesn't necessarily. In the end, it does. I mean, we said chiyah ba'avad statement. We say rovers. Yeah. That is the halacha in the end. But Rav Ashi's diuk of that for the Mishnah is not necessarily a valid diuk. We continued in the Mishnah. Shavuah shalo ochel va'ochel paschim. We said, if he said a shavuah that I won't eat, and he ended up eating, if he said generically that I won't eat, and then he ate paschim and paschim and paschim, we said he's only chayav one chatas. On the other hand, if he said a shavuah that I won't eat paschim or paschim or paschim, and eats a gezayis of each one, then he said he's chayav three karos. So the question is, one, the duma of Mr. Nachshon Nachman Isakovsky. Why don't we say that the reason why he mentioned those three is to say, but I'm still mutter in any others. I'm still mutter to eat rye bread, I'm still mutter to eat cornbread, I'm still mutter to eat other foods. Why should we say it? Consider like three separate shavuot. I mean, mechayev, individually for each one. The answer is, havel ha'mem, chitin usar and rakosmi. If that's all he meant, he could have said that I'm not going to eat wheat or barley or the fact, he could have just said I'm not going to eat wheat or barley or salt. The fact that he mentioned past individually for each one meant that he meant to consider each one of them a separate entity. Question is the Duma lost.
It could be lost from the
Adam. Yeah, the lost from the Adam, fine. That means that we still have to look at when we define what a term means, we go according to lost from the Adam. But the point is, if he wanted to say that he also to eat wheat bread and barley bread and salt bread and make it only that if he's over on it, he's only high of one carbon, he would have just said that I won't eat these three minim. He wouldn't have mentioned bread individually by each one. He wouldn't have said wheat bread and barley bread and spelt bread. The fact that he mentioned bread for each one shows that it's a separate thing.
Can eat barley without
that's the question. Dilma Locus. Maybe if he were to say it that way, he would think people would misunderstand him to mean that he's not allowed to chew raw wheat or raw barley, etc. Maybe it would imply that bread made from those things is mutter to him. Fine, the answer is davel elamem, paschitin or sarin rakusmin. Fine, if that's what he's worried about, he could have said that I won't eat bread of wheat or barley or spelt. And that would include all three types of bread. Hey, we're doing a paschit in lechol, sarin rakusmin lechos. Fine, but still, maybe it could be misunderstood to mean that he's saying I'm also to eat wheat bread as well as raw barley and raw spelt. The answer is davel elamem, paschit in lechol, sarin rakusmin. Fine, but then he could have said that I'm asking myself bread and that would make it clear that it means it's all under one category. Okay, the problem is the Dilma Ide Tablo, but that would mean three different types of bread. It would include all the other kinds. It would exclude chewing raw ones, but it would also exclude by that way, it would also exclude rye and whatever else. So therefore, it would also exclude raw because he only said bread.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. The problem is with Dilma Ide Tavlovit. It's fine, but maybe if he says it that way, that I'm asking myself to eat bread of wheat and barley and spelt, maybe it means I'm not going to eat a bread that's made of all those three things together, like the Ezekiel bread that they sell in the health food stores. Yeah. Ema, no. What he could have said is like this. V'chein shal sa'orim, v'chein shal kusim. Still, what he could have said is, I'm asking myself to eat wheat bread, as well as of barley, as well as of salt. And then it would have been clear that it's all one shavuah. Pas lomali. Why did he mention the word bread individually by each one? Shmami nalachalik. That means that he intended for it to be three separate shavuahs. And therefore, he breaks each one of them individually, then he's chayav a separate chatas for it. For each one individually. No. Raw is out of the picture now, because he only said bread. He only said bread. The reason why we brought up the matter of war is because we argued if he didn't mean to separate them, he wouldn't have said bread at all. But if he did that, it would mean war. But like this, he said bread. So you have like this. If he wants to say a shavua where he's only going to be high of one korban if he breaks any part of it, what he'll say is, I'm making a shavua. I will not eat bread of wheat and similarly of barley and similarly of spelt. That makes it clear. He's not offering himself raw grain, because he said bread. He's not saying it's one bread combined of all these three ingredients. He's saying similarly of this and similarly of that.
It shows that he adds past every time.
Yeah, but by mentioning past every time makes it that it's now considered as if it was three separate shavuos. There's a shavua on past chitin, a shavua on past sa'urim, and a shavua on past kutman. Similarly, we said about the drinks. Shavua shalai eshta v'shos ha'mashkin ha'be ena chai v'la'achas chula. So we said it's the same thing with drinks, that if he said a shavua that I won't drink and he drank whatever, then he's only chayav one. But if he said a shavua that I won't drink wine or oil or honey, not wine, milk or oil or honey, and he drinks each one individually, then he's chayav three. So again, the question is, Bishlema Hossa, I can understand when it comes to the bread, the amrit miyatu, like pas l'chayuva. Each time he mentioned bread specifically in order to say that each one is considered a shavua of its own, a separate thing of its own. Elohacha, my havel amemer. What else could he have said by mentioning, what else could he have said if he meant to make it one shavua? Maybe he only means to say, I'm asking myself in these three drinks, but I'm still mutter to eat, I'm still mutter to drink wine, I'm still mutter to drink orange juice, etc. How can we be mechayev him for three separate shavuos and make him chayev three separate korbanos, when maybe the only reason he mentioned this list is because how else is he supposed to say that he's only asking himself in these three? And it's not like you could say he mentioned past individually by each one of them. Each one is a one-word thing. The case we're talking about over here is he has glasses of containers of all these three things in front of him. Then he could have, if he meant it to be all one big shavua, he would have said a shavua that I won't drink these. By saying, instead by mentioning each one individually, he means to make it separate shavua. Okay, problem is, fine, but then again, it could be misunderstood. It could mean I'm only going to drink, it can only mean I'm not going to drink this container of oil, or this container of milk, or whatever, but I'll drink other ones. The answer is, fine, but he could have said instead of shavua that I won't drink anything similar to these. Yeah, the problem is, maybe kagoin elu means similar in size.
Less
this exact amount. Maybe he means, fine, I won't drink a gallon of this, but I'll drink a half a gallon or whatever. Yeah. Ella, no, going to Omar, no, we could say what he could have said if he wanted to make one big shavua, he could have said shavua shala eshta mimin elu. He could have said a shavua that I won't drink any of these anything in these categories, anything of these types, meaning any type of milk or any type of oil, etc. Okay, the problem is we're dealing with min elu delicious sinah or inu gufay shasina. Fine, but maybe that could be misunderstood. Maybe he means I won't drink anything of that type. I won't drink any other milk of that type, but I will drink this milk. Again, how is he supposed to say it without it being separate shavuos? The answer is ema shaloi eshta elo uminayu. Okay, but you could say what he could have said if he meant to make it one big shavuot, he would have said, "I'm not going to drink these or their species or their type," and that would have made it clear that it means one big shavuot. But by mentioning it individually, by mentioning separately milk and oil and honey, he means to say that each one is a separate shavuot and that he's chayiv individually for each one. That's one answer. Rav Acha Breder of Ikka, Rav Acha Breder of Ikka gives a different answer. The Misarhev by Chavera. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where his friend is trying to persuade him, is trying to plead with him to come drink by him. The Amaloi, namely the friend tells him, Boy, say imi yayin v'shemen v'vash. The friend is telling him, come drink with me wine, come drink with me wine or oil or honey. Now the person could just say, if he doesn't want to drink any of those, he could just say simply, shvur shala eshta imcha, yayin shvur shala eshta imcha. Fine, a shvur that I won't drink with you, period. And that would include all the three things that his friend just mentioned. Yayin v'shemen v'vash lomali. Why did he bother re-mentioning all the three things? L'chayiv akalach v'achas, obviously because he wants to be m'chayiv himself individually for each one. So that's it. So that's what it is. Even he didn't mention pach.
If he didn't want to drink with all,
he would have just said, I'm a shvur that I'm not going to drink. But he says yayin v'shemen u'dvash means that he wants to after himself individually in each of these three things. Yeah.
With him or without him?
Well, so actually, Tosfos mentions in that case, all he's aftering himself on is the wine or whatever that his friend wanted to offer him. It doesn't mean that he's aftering himself on all the wine and all the oil and whatever in the world. Just the ones that his friend wanted to offer him. But by mentioning those three, he's implying that he's aftering himself individually on each one. Therefore, if he changes his mind, or whatever, if he forgets that he made this shavua and ends up drinking by the guy a revius of wine and a revius of oil, etc., then he's going to be chayiv separate korbanos for each one. Okay. Shnan Hossam. We learn in a... Now, we have a related concept to this. This that we're talking about, that you have a klal and then you have a prat, like in our Mishnah, where you specified pas chitin and pas ta'un, etc. We have a similar concept later on in our Masechta beginning in the fourth parak, or in the fifth parak, rather, we're going to be getting into the types of shavuos that a person makes in Beis Din. Shavuos d'oraisa, shavuos
d'rabbanan.
Among them are the case, you have the case of moedim amitz, that's where a person admits part of a claim. You have a case where there's one aid against him. So, you have one of them, which is the one we're going to be dealing with over here, is shavuos apikadon, where if you're mafkid something by somebody, a shenda chinam, shenda sacha, whatever, and later on you want to claim it back from him, and he denies it, he has to take a shavuos. So, Tanan Hossam, so we learn in a Mishnah later on.
If a person says that one person takes the other to bathe, and it's like, can they keep in the soda in the course of the siesta, giving the wheat and
barley and spelt. The Aleph is a reference to later on, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, in the Mishnah later on in our, later on in our Masechta, in Maseres Hashanah. So ten lichitin asar and v'kus min shiyesh lebiyacha. Reuven says to Shimon, "Give me back the wheat and barley and spelt that I have in your possession." Meaning, for example, that I was masked by you. And the other one says, "Shavur shein lachav biyadik klum." I swear that I don't have anything of yours in my possession. And it turns out it was false. And chayv alachas, he's only going to be chayv one carbon for his shavur. On the other hand, Shavur Shein Lachabiyadi Chitinus or in Rekusman, but he mentions specifically, I swear that I don't have in my possession wheat or barley or spelt of yours, Chayv or Kalachas Lachas, and we Chayv a carbon individually for each one. So how much, so now, can we be Mitzarek then? We have a similar question, therefore, can we combine them together? V'omer Rav Yechanan, afilu prutim mikolo Mitzarekas. Now Rav Yechanan says on this, that even if he has only a third of a pruta of wheat and a third of a pruta of barley and a third of a pruta of spelt, then he's still all combined together. Now, we're going to learn later on, when we learn about the concept of shvuah sepikadon, you're only chayav if what you were kofer in with the shvuah was worth a pruta or more. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, we can combine together a pruta, and when it finally turns out that he lied and he brings it and he repays the other guy, he'll bring a carbon for the combination of all of that, for a little bit of wheat and a little bit of barley and a little bit of spelt altogether, as long as it made a shavah pruta or more. Yes. If the whole thing was less than a pruta that he's claiming from him, right. then there's
but
no carbon.
Oh, now we
yeah, but more than for sure.
He has to bring each one then.
Oh well, that's what we're going to figure out. So now Rav Acha and Ravina argue, when we say in the Mishnah that you chayev individually for each one, and Rav Yechanan is saying that you chayev that you chayev for the combination of them, so that Rav Acha and Ravina argue, chad omer aproti mechayev akfoli lo mechayev, one of them says you chayev for the protim, you're not chayev for the klal. Namely, we don't say like this. We don't say that. Let's say, for example, so there was a separate pruta of each one. Would we say that he's chayav four hashamais, one for the general thing that he denied money, and another one specifically for the chitim, and another one specifically for the sodim, and another one for the kusmin? So one of them says no, you're only chayav for the protim, not for the klal. You only chayav three hashamais, not four. One for the pruta of chitim, one for the sodim, one for the kusmin. And the other one says, "Akholi nami mechayev." No, you're also chayev. You're also chayev for the klal. So when you say shvur shein lachabiyadi, it's a generic statement, and then you're swearing individual on each one. So you have altogether four. Right. You have altogether four shvurs. Okay. So
hachamai. Now, what would be the din over here?
Would Rav Acha and Ravina have a similar machlokas over here? The person said shaloi oichal, that I won't eat pas chitin, pas seorin, pas kusmin. If he ate a kazayis individually of each one, is he chayav three karbanas or four? Amar Rava hachi hashna. So Rava says, how are you thinking to compare the two cases? Hasim mechayav aklal or mechayav aprata. Over there,
he is chayav for the klal, and he can also be chayav for the prat. Because after all, if a person were to swear and then again swear falsely on the same thing, he would be chayav two ashamais.
You have, we're going to learn in that connection later on, that if Reuven brings Shimon to Beis Din and makes him swear that he doesn't owe him anything, and then Shimon swears falsely, then he's chayav an asham for that. And if he swears falsely on it again, if Reuven again claims it by him and again he swears falsely, he's chayav another. He's chayav again for it. There, you can have one shavua on top of another one, because each time in between, he could have returned it. So therefore, each one is a separate thing of its own. So therefore, as soon as he says, shavua shein l'chabiyadi, that's already one asham that he's chayiv. And when he mentions specifically, chitin, or sa'urin, or kusmin, that's another three. Hacha, isakadaydach, isabaklala, if you're going to say over here that the korban, you're already chayiv a korban for the klal, aprot yamayim chayiv, how could he be chayiv for the protim in the first place? Mushba v'oimit, he was already mushba v'oimit, as soon as he says, I won't eat, automatically that includes all the different kinds of bread that he's going to mention. Therefore, the other three couldn't be valid shavuot, because ain't shavuot chal al shavuot. The fact that they are means that you don't have a generic shavuot over here. Over there, there can be a generic shvur, and within it, there can be specific shvurs, because there, even the generic shvur could happen more than once. You could say over and over again, each time you could swear, I don't owe you anything, I don't owe you anything, I don't owe you anything, and each time you chayav a separate asham for it. As opposed to here, if you were to say, I swear that I won't eat, I swear that I won't eat, I swear that I won't eat, it's only considered one shvuah. The same thing, if you were to say, I swear that I won't eat, and then I swear that I won't eat bread of wheat or barley or spelt bread of wheat or wheat bread or spelt bread or barley bread or whatever, you can't say that those are considered separate shvuahs, because then they wouldn't be able to be chal, because already the general shvuah was chal that I won't eat. So obviously, therefore, it must mean you don't have the generic shvuah. You only have the specific ones, that I won't eat wheat bread, that I won't eat barley bread, that I won't eat spelt bread. And therefore, you have three karbanos ol v'yored, not four, even according to the opinion that says that a shvuah is hapikad and you'd be chayav four times.
Opposed to the other case where you said...
As opposed to the other case where you could have one shvuah on top of another.
Sometimes you do count the generic, sometimes you don't count the generic.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay.
Are you guys good to continue a little more?
Good.
Okay. All right. We said in the Mishnah, Shvur Shalai Echal. We said in the Mishnah, a person says a Shvur that I won't eat. And we said that he eats something that's inedible when he's potter. But we said that if he ate Nevelus a trip, it's Shkotim or Ramasim, then he's Chayev according to the Tanakhama. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hogufa Kasha. You have a contradiction then in the Mishnah. Amrit Shvur Shalai Echal V'Ochal. You said that if he says a Shvur that I won't eat, and he ended up, Yiv'Ochal Oichlin Chain and Ruin Lachila, and he ate something that's not edible. And he drank something that's not drinkable. Potter. But then the Mishnah continues. Shvur shla erkal. Va'achol nevelus atreifes shkotzim uramasim. We said that if he eats nevelus atreifes shkotzim uramasim, he's chayer. Maishna reisha the potter.
Why in the reisha would he be potter? Maishna seif the chayer.
He was to say that it's also not rawi lachila.
Yeah.
Nevelus.
Okay, so for that, it's not really the question that we're asking, that it's not Roy Lachila. Because we said before, it is Roy Lachila and it's Al Yehudu Revi'a. It's just that there's an Isser. There's an Isser sitting on top of it.
Right.
But the real question is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, Holei Kasha, it's not such a big problem, because Reisha Bistam, the safe of the parish. Because the Reisha is talking about, he just said generically that I won't eat. You're right.
The Hava Amina is that Nevela and Trefa are not Oath and Trefa.
But we'll get back to that. But yeah. Right now, the Gemara doesn't necessarily have to know the conclusion from before that Nevela intrinsically is mutter and just that it's also only because of the Isser. Okay.
Because there's...
But the answer is...
Holy Kasha, Reisha B'Stam, the safe of the father. Fine, but the Reisha is talking about where you just said
Stam, that I'm not gonna eat anything. The safe of the father, the second one, is talking about where you said specifically I'm not going to eat Nevela. The question is a farash nami gufi tikri. Then in that case, you have a question. If he says, I'm not going to eat nevela, then you have a real problem. Mai, how can that be mutter? Mushba mahar sinai, who as we've asked a few times already, he's mushba mahar sinai. He's not allowed to eat nevela already from mahar sinai, so his shavur shouldn't have any effect. How is he chayav for it? And here we have the answer, which we've brought twice before.
Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechon and Amri, that Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechon all say the curl of Gorma Matonin and Gorma. The case of our Mishnah
is, he says, for example, a shvur that I won't eat nevela or shchuta, trefa or kosher meat. So since it's shvur is able to be chal on the kosher meat, it's also able to be chal on the nevela.
But a shlokish shama and a shlokish says, no, that doesn't work.
E at the moite, the only way you can make our Mishnah work, ela even a farish chatzit shiur v'alivad rabbanon, is either if he explicitly says a chatzit shiur, he explicitly says, I won't eat a half a kazayas of nevela, v'alivad rabbanon, and that would be even according to the rabbanon, who said in the first Mishnah of our parak that if he said, we said before, that Rava had said, that if you say mefarish, then for sure you chayav for less than a kazayas. Or he said stam, and Rabbi Akiva had said yuchayev for less than a kazayis. So therefore, over here, then that would work also. Which Rabbi Akiva said a person can ask to himself even in a kol shehu, automatically, without even saying so.
Without
saying b'feirish. That was Rabbi Akiva's point. So yeah.
Okay. Rabbi Akiva's in essence is saying he has to explicitly mention that.
Right. Well, either explicitly or implicitly according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, implicitly it works. Yeah. Okay. Okay,
I can understand why Rabbi Yechonin does not agree with her shlokish. The Muslim, one more question, did it very happen? He would rather explain the Mishnah according to everybody.
Rather than have to explain it that it's a specific case of Mefarish or Stam according to Rabbi Akiva, he would rather say that the Mishnah that the Mishnah goes according to everybody. And the Mishnah didn't say anything about Mefarish. El Rabbi Shlokish, my time, Allah Omakir Rabbi Yechonin. Why doesn't Rabbi Shlokish agree with Rabbi Yechonin? After all, it's a good point. If he's because it's a kolol, because he was kolol, he said, I'm making a shvur that I won't eat nevelus or shchutas. Why shouldn't that work? Why doesn't
Rishlokish accept that explanation?
He doesn't.
Well, that's the answer. Amalak, Yamin, it's a kolol. Because it's longer to say, I agree there is a concept of Issur Kolol, but when does that apply? The Issur Habama Elo. That applies only when you have an Issur that comes on its own. For example, you have, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, a person eats Nevela on Yom Kippur. So the Rabbanan, the Chachamim and Reb Shimon elsewhere in Shas argue whether the person is chayav a chatos for having broken Yom Kippur. We know he's not chayav a chatos for Nevela. There's no chatos for Nevela. Again, the maximum is Malchus. But is he chayav for having eaten on Yom Kippur?
Which is
Kodesh. Well, Kodesh, but the point is, in other words, therefore, for B'shogig, it would be a chatos. So if he would eat Nevela B'shogig on Yom Kippur, would he be chayav a chatos? Now, the Rabbanim say, even if the animal died before Yom Kippur, so therefore it was already also before Yom Kippur, he can still be chayav for breaking Yom Kippur. I ain't Issur Chal al Issur, it's an Issur Kolol. Because what happens before Yom Kippur, only this Nevela was also to him. Now comes Yom Kippur, all food is also to him. Therefore Yom Kippur is an Issur Kolol. It's including things that previously were mutter to him, and including, therefore, also the thing that was also. They say that if you did it for shogeg, you would bring a chatos for having eaten on Yom Kippur. And Reb Shimon would disagree with that because he would say in that case, ein issur chal al issur.
You had one issur of
Yom Kippur and another issur of Nevela, but it was already issur as Nevela before Yom Kippur. You don't bring a chatos for eating Nevela. So Reb Shimon said the fact that it's Yom Kippur doesn't add anything to that. Mele, if the animal died on Yom Kippur itself, fine, maybe it's different. But if it died before Yom Kippur, is what we're talking about.
The Chachamim say that
that Issur Chal al Issur. But that's because the Issur comes on its own, because as soon as Yom Kippur comes, the Issur automatically kicks in. The Issur comes through the person making a Shavua and creating an Issur that didn't exist before. We don't necessarily say that Issur Chal al Issur. So therefore, as Shlokhov said, I can't accept that if a person were to make an Issur that includes Nevela and Shchuta, that it should be Chalam Nevela, because that's not an Issur that comes on its own. It's an Issur that person created. A person can create an Issur on something that's Mutter. A person is not able to create a second Issur on top of something that's already also. Okay. So Bishleim lo Rish Lakish Mishum Hakri Kapata Rish Shimon. Fine, according to Rish Lakish, it's easy to understand why Rish Shimon patters you in our Mishnah. The Tanya, as we learn, Reb Shimon and Mekol Shuru L'Makas, Reb Shimon says that you chayev Malkus for even eating a Kol Shuru, even less than a Kazayis. V'loy Omer Kazayis Elo L'Korban. The concept of that there's a difference between a Kazayis and less is only as far as bringing a Korban if you did it for Shogig. So therefore, Reb Shimon will hold that you are Mushba V'Omed for even less than a Kazayis. So therefore, Reb Shimon will say in our Mishnah, your Shuru cannot be Chal. Because your Shavua is Mushba V'Omer Mahar Sinai. You're already besworn from Mahar Sinai not to eat even less than a Kazayas and Nevela. You ate less than a Kazayas and Nevela. If it's amazing, you Chayav Malkus. Your Shavua cannot be Chal on top of what the Torah said already. So therefore, you Chayav Malkus for eating the Nevela. You can't be Chayav Malkus for your Shavua, because your Shavua isn't Chal in the first place. It's a Shavua. So that includes something that the Torah already said. Fine, but we're talking according to Reb Shimon.
El Reb Yechanan, my time is the Reb Shimon to Potter, but according to Reb Yechanan, why is Reb Shimon pottering you? According to Reb Shimon, you're chayev on even a small amount. So again, how is your Shavua working over here? Fine, you're kolol, but so what? The answer is midi who time elements from Issur Kolol. What's the whole point? Reb Yechanan and Rav and Shmuel are saying is because of Issur Kolol. Reb Shimon, the time major, less the Issur Kolol. Reb Shimon is going according to his own svara that he doesn't hold of Issur Kolol. He doesn't hold of this whole concept. The Tanya, yeah, as in fact we learn in the Chachamim. As opposed to the Chachamim. Rish Lakish made a distinction within Issur Kolol the second Issur comes down its own. Reb Shimon says I don't hold of Issur Kolol at all. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, in this connection that Rashi mentioned before about Nevela on Yom Kippur, Reb Shimon Omer Ochel Nevela B'Yom Kippur in Potter. Reb Shimon says, somebody eats Nevela on Yom Kippur, he will be Potter from a Chatos, because the Issur of Yom Kippur is not able to be Chal on top of the Issur of Nevela. Or, for that matter, the Issur of Avim and Achai. Actually, Rashi points out, even let's say, for example, the animal was still alive come Yom Kippur. Fine, but before Yom Kippur started, you were also inside Avim and Achai. The issue of Yom Kippur does not come on top of that. Avim and Achai, you don't bring a chafas for either. Because again, Avim and Achai is not Chayav Koris, if you did it amazing. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, the issue of Yom Kippur is not able to come on top of the issue of Nevela.
First come, first serve.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Okay.
So therefore,
we can make on... The halacha is like a chachamim, but therefore we can make the Mishnah work. That's why Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of our Mishnah works, because the chachamim will say that you're chayev because it's a kolah.
Rabbi Shimon will say you're chayev because he doesn't hold that it's a kolah.
Therefore, your shavua has no effect, because your shavua, no matter whether you said dvarim amutarim with dvarim asurim, doesn't matter. Your shavua will apply to the dvarim amutarim; it will not apply to the dvarim asurim. Therefore, yeah, you'll be chayev malchus for having eaten nevela or whatever, but you won't be chayev malchus for having broken your shlokish. Reish Lakish had said that Reb Shimon would say your potter for a different reason, because your shavua can't be chal, because your shavua is chal on even less than a kezayis, because the iser in the Torah is on even less than a kezayis, so your shavua on even less than a kezayis doesn't help. Okay, so the question is, v'shlem l'Reish Lakish mashkachas l'balav v'heir. Okay, so now we're going to bring in a new concept. Later on, on Daf Chof Hei, we're going to talk about that to be chayav a korban for a shavua, it has to be. Now, the Torah says, the Torah mentions in connection with this korban for a shavua, that it has to be lahora or lahetiv, to do bad or to do good, implying that it's something where you have a choice whether to do it or not to do it. So therefore, it has to be, it's called lav v'hein. It has to be that... It's a shavua where you could make a shavua not to do it, and that would be a valid shavua, and you would not do that. Or equally well, you could make a shavua to do it, and you would do it. So in other words, it has to be divrei harashut. So it has to be something optional. It can't be, for example, again, it can't be a shavua to do an isser, because again, that's mushba v'ayin mahasinai. It also can't be a shavua to not do something which you require to do min haTorah. You can't make a shavua, for example, that I won't put on tefillin, let's say. So, b'shleim al Reish Lakish, v'lav v'hein, that there can be a no and there can be a yes. So you can make a shavua, for example, that I won't eat this bread, and that's a valid shavua, because you could equally make a shavua that I will eat this bread and eat it. It's something that you have an option to do. You're able to, without the shavua, do it or not do it. Therefore, you're able to make a shavua one way or the other about it.
You're going to have a positive or negative
shavua, yeah.
Basically.
So bishlem the Reish Lakish, mashkachas l'balav. So according to Reish, that we're talking about chatzis shir, then you have, it's possible to have a lav and a hay. Because again, the Torah, even if you argue the Torah asks you to eat a chatzis shir, even if you say chatzis shir osman haTorah, there's no malchus or kores or what have you for it. Therefore, in a certain sense, it's not fully osman haTorah. So therefore, a person is able to make a shavua that I won't eat a half kezayis of nevela, and that works. And a person is also able to make a shavua that I will eat a half a kezayis of nevela, and that would work, and he'd eat the half a kezayis of nevela, because he's not chayav of anything in haTorah for it. In fact, because less than kezayis. Reish Lakish himself actually holds in the other sugyas in Yoma, Reish Lakish himself actually holds that chatzis shir is not even osur min haTorah. So according to Reish Lakish, that works out nicely. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about that he made a shavua that he's not going to eat a complete kezayis of nevela. But we're talking about that he said that I'm not going to eat nevela or shchuta. So he's including dvarim. You can find it's possible to make a shavua not to. It's possible for a person to make a shavua not to eat nevelas, and that can be made to work as an isur kolal. If he says, I'm making a shavua that I won't eat nevelas and I won't eat shchutas, so then we said isur kolal. Once his shavua is chal on the shchuta, it's also chal on the nevela. That works. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, how is there a hein? A person can't make a valid shavua that I will eat a kezayis of nevela, because he's also not told to eat a kezayis of nevela. So how would that work? That's not that we're going to learn later on. Again, that you only bring a korban olav yored for a shavua that could have been a lav or could have been a hein. And here it's not possible to make a shavua for hein that I will eat a kezayis of nevela. It's going to be valid.
You know, eat nevela, but you're allowed to eat.
You're allowed to eat shchuta. Fine. So you can make a shavua that I will eat a kezayis of kosher meat. But you can't make a shavua that I will eat a kezayis of kosher meat or tzreika meat. How does it work? You can't go against the shavua from Har Sinai. No. Ela kederava. No. Rather, we can answer it that. When we said before, we wanted to argue before, when we brought in, the Mishnah had said that there was a case where he said, Shavur Shalot Oichal, and he ate something that's Einan Ruin La'achila. We said he's potter. Then we said that if he eats Nevevus, a Trefus, Shkotim, or a Mothim, he's Chayim. And that brought us into this whole discussion. So rather, don't say that that's the difference is that one is Stam and one is Mefarish. That one is he just said generically, I'm not going to eat, and the other one he said I'm going to eat. And the other one he said specifically that I'm not going to eat nevelos or treifas, etc. Rather, explain the difference between them like this. Namely, that we have that Rava said, a person says a shvur that I won't eat, va'achal offer, and he eats dirt potter. That's the case the Mishnah is talking about. Not where he says, in other words, when we said in the Mishnah that he made a shvur that I won't eat, and he ate oichlin she'en and ruin la'achila, does not mean that he ate nevelus. And in other words, that would be talking about where he said specifically that I won't eat nevelus, and the second case is talking about where he said generically that. And the second case is that he said generic. The first case is that he said that I won't eat nevelus, and he ate nevelus, where there he'd be potter. The second case is where he said generically I won't eat nevelus or shchutas, and then he ate nevelus. We said he's chayev because it's a kerlo. No, don't understand the Mishnah that way. The first case of the Mishnah about inedible things is talking about he made a shvur, not the dirt. Let's say nothing to do with the nevela business.
We cannot understand it if it's nevelus.
Right. So therefore we have to say the first case is talking about dirt. The second case is talking about nevela. Nevela is roi lachila. It's just like we said before in the Gemara, Al Yehudu Revi Ale. There's a lion of the Issu crouching on top of it. Therefore, it is really roi lachila. So in the first case you have lav vehein because the person said generically I won't eat. So therefore, Isur Kerlo, that includes Nevela as well as Dvarim Asurim. So therefore, there is Lav Behein, because he said generically, I won't eat. And there can be a Shavur generically not to eat, and there can be a Shavur generically to eat. So therefore, it's able to include anything that would be edible, which includes Nevela, which in itself is edible, it's just that there's an Isur on it. So therefore, in other words, in the first case, he said generically, I won't eat. If he says generically I won't eat, fine. He's also to eat anything, and therefore if he eats nevelus, he's also chayim for it. But on the other hand, if he were to say generically I will eat, he is obligated to keep his shavua. He has to eat something. It doesn't have to be nevelus, of course, but it has to be something kosher. But therefore you can't say that such a shavua doesn't have lav vehein because fine, he can't fulfill it by eating nevela because he's also to do that. But he can fulfill it by eating other things. Rav Mori says, yes, in fact, we can prove this from the next part of the Mishnah. We have the case, koinam ishti nenesli. We have the case where the person says, a koinam that my wife should be also to have hana from me, or to give me hana, as the case may be, as we said. Im achalti ayom, if I ate today, v'ochol nevelos ha-trefes shkotim ha-ramasim, and previously had eaten nevelos ha-trefes shkotim ha-ramasim, haray ishta asur aloi, we said that his wife is also to him, meaning, therefore, that eating those things is considered achila, is considered eating. So therefore, you can see that they really are considered edible. Unless it's hachi hashna, fine, but still, how do you compare it? The difference is, there he first ate it, then he made the shvur. Chashuvei achshavei. Again, we have the concept of achshavei. He considered it important enough to be considered something that he considered that he ate by saying a shvur that if I ate, then such and such. He obviously considers in the veil that he ate to be something valid to eat.
Even though he's also to eat it,
because he already ate it. Elohocha mi achshavei, but over here, how can you argue that he's being machshavei by saying that I won't eat, and he ends up eating the nevelos at the time? He made a shvur, not necessarily was he demonstrating that the nevela is something that he's willing to eat. So therefore, not necessarily can you prove from the Mishnah, that nevela is mutter. We do have to say it, because otherwise we're left with the question, how is Rabbi Yochanan understanding the Mishnah? But we can't necessarily prove it from the wording of the Mishnah itself about the case of Koinam Ishti Nenesli.
We cannot prove it because...
Because the Mishnah may be distinguishing between whether he already ate it, where Akshavei, versus where he has yet to eat it, where you don't necessarily say Akshavei, that he considered it important. Okay, Rashi mentions over here briefly that the Mishnah is talking about there's a difference between whether the nevela is spoiled or not. Whether it's spoiled, no, not necessarily is a nevela spoiled. It could be fresh roadkill. But Rashi says he doesn't like that for a number of reasons, because number one, it's not called a nevela at that point. There's still no hain involved. Why we bring in Rava's thing. Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph, there is maybe a way to still make that Girsa work. But okay, that's where we're left with at this point, is that we have, again, we have Rabbi Yochanan's way of explaining the Mishnah that if he made that, so we're left with, according to Rabbi Yochanan's way of explaining the Mishnah, if the person says generically, I won't eat, then if he eats nevelus, he is chayev, because nevelus is considered food. If you were to make a specific shvuah on nevelus, he'd be potter, because mushvah v'arim mahar sinai. However, if he makes a shvuah specifically, I won't eat nevelus, and I won't eat shchutas, then if he eats nevelus, he's chayev again, that's the same as saying shaloi ochal generically.
Because
it's offering something that's mutter along with something that's offering. Reb Shimon says he's potter. In the last case, again, because Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Issa Kerala.
Yeah, well, Rabbi Yochanan holds from Labahain. No,
everybody holds Labahain. Yeah. Well, not everybody in the Mishnah that we're going to discuss over there, but at least the halacha is that we're going to have Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva over there, and we're going to get into it. We're going to see that la halacha. Yes, you need Labahain. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has to agree with that. Yeah. Okay.
You feel what you could have tomorrow.